Written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Just 15 games remaining in the 2022 Carolina League regular season for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers as they play the fourth of six games this week at Segra Stadium against the top team in the South Division, the Charleston River Dogs. High above field level here at Segra Stadium, Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman on this beautiful Friday night in downtown Fayetteville. And the Woodpeckers are trying to get some of the momentum back they gained on Wednesday night after ending an 11-game losing streak. Last night, however, they got off to a 3-0 start but gave up 12 unanswered runs, including a big 6-run fourth inning for the Charleston River Dogs, and fell by a final of 12-3. So Chappie, obviously on the mound, hoping for a little bit more consistency pitching-wise, but offensively, the chances were there last night for Fayetteville. They did leave 14 runners on base, as did Charleston, but in the end, the River Dogs just came away with a few more big-time hits and rode that big fourth inning to the victory.
Yeah, no doubt, Colin. There was some positive to take from it. You know, Josh James dominated. I thought A.J. Blueball out there on the mound had a good couple of innings, went scoreless in his first two, and then second time through, Charleston made those adjustments against him and got all those hits on him. Jason Schroeder, even though he walked a lot of guys late, he did only give up just one hit and one run, so it seemed like some of his stuff was there when it was in the strike zone. Just, of course, the command stuff, the big thing for him. But overall, it was just really a couple of big innings that got away from Fayetteville. They took that 3-0 lead, and over the last two nights, they've done a good job of keeping Charleston off the board in the early innings. And that'll be pivotal again tonight to try and keep the game low scoring early, grab a couple of runs against that Charleston starter, and hope that Nick Swanson can give you some good work on the hill.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Swanson getting the start tonight. 3-2 with a 4.38 ERA on the season. But as a starting pitcher this season, Swanson's ERA just 2.84. He has been really good opening up ball games for the Woodpeckers. And on the other side, it is right-hander J.J. Goss, a top 30 prospect for the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-5 with a 4.40 earned run average. First pitch at 7:05. But before that, we've got a special sit-down interview. Andrew Chapman talked with Woodpeckers pitching coach John Kovalik before tonight's game. Here's what John had to say, and we hope you enjoy it. Again, on the other side, the Woodpeckers and River Dogs doing action for the fourth time this week out of six games. And again, we'll have that interview when we come back on the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. You're tuned in right here at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB TV.
Interested in keeping up with all things Woodpeckers? Follow the Fayetteville Woodpeckers on social media for team news, highlights, ticket information, promotions, and more. The Woodpeckers can be found on Facebook by searching Fayetteville Woodpeckers, as well as on Twitter at WoodpeckersNC and Instagram at Fayetteville Woodpeckers. You can also follow the team's all-new TikTok page at Fay Woodpeckers. For more information on how to access your favorite Carolina League team on social media, visit MILB.com/Fayetteville.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H Home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value. Well, welcome down into the coaches' offices here at Segra Stadium. We are pleased to be joined on the pregame show by Fayetteville Woodpeckers pitching coach John Kovalik. It's great to have you on. How's energy around this time of year? We're down in the home stretch, dog days of August. How you doing at this point?
Definitely a little tired. I appreciate you having me on. But yeah, like I said, definitely tired, but at the same time, it's definitely exciting getting all this new blood, all these new faces into the clubhouse. It's definitely a little jolt that that makes this final push of the season a little more enjoyable for everybody. So.
Yeah, how many hands have you had to shake over the last week or so, I would say? Hey, John, nice to meet you.
Can't even count. Quite a bit.
Lost track. Yeah, it's still hard to remember everybody's name. But John, you know, your background is an interesting one. You weren't always a pitcher from your earlier days of high school. We've talked about your come up going into college. You were a catcher and a shortstop, and you wound up at Slippery Rock University playing college ball in Pennsylvania, and then some indie ball after that, where you were exclusively a pitcher. And you know, where did that transition come for you, going from field player to more pitcher, and what led you in that direction?
Yeah, so I played a lot of infield growing up, and I pitched a little bit, not anything crazy, definitely not anything that would be indicative of going on to play college as a pitcher and then continue into professional baseball as a pitching coach. But essentially, I just couldn't hit. And that I always had a strong arm. I always loved throwing the ball. My dad, when I was growing up, actually built me this cinder block wall out in our driveway that I would just, and then he bought me these rubber baseballs, and I would just go out and pepper the wall every day for hours on end. I would just throw. I just loved throwing. So I always had a strong arm. But like I said, I just could not hit at a high level. And one of my travel ball coaches, you know, kudos to him for being honest with me and upfront. Recommended that I really start focusing on pitching, and I'd always enjoyed it, and it just sort of took off from there, and ended up at Slippery Rock. And I had a great college experience at Slippery Rock, and you know, can't speak more highly of that program as well. So
you went on to play professional baseball afterward at the Independent League ranks, a little bit of time in the American Association, I think the Frontier League as well. You had a little bit there, and then on to coaching. So how'd you go from pro pitcher to working in the Houston Astros system as a coach? Where did that transition period come along?
Yeah, so I finished up my independent ball career, and I actually had gotten home from one of my stops. I don't remember. I don't even remember where. And I was actually giving a pitching lesson at the time, and I remember getting done with that particular lesson and then going to look at my phone. And I had a missed call from Coach Messer at Slippery Rock. Mm-hmm. And I had helped out at my high school in years past, just essentially so I had a place to throw. And my best friend's little brother was on the team as well, so I just ended up helping him out. And kind of sparked my interest in coaching and helping kids just with their pitching and what have you. I had expressed to Coach Messer in the past the desire to get into coaching eventually, and things didn't work out with the pitching coach that he had at the beginning of the fall that year, and he asked me if I'd be interested, and I said absolutely, and basically packed up my car, got an apartment, and was the pitching coach at Slippery Rock for a couple years before I hooked on with the Astros. So I've been a lot of places, but it's been quite the journey to get to where I am now.
Yeah, from coaching, you know, high schoolers after your playing days to now coaching young future big leaguers. You know, it's pretty cool transition there, and you've had the chance to see a lot of the guys that are now anchoring the Houston Astros rotation and coach them in some capacity. Luis Garcia, you know, Framber Valdez, Jose Urquidy, some of those guys that come to mind that were in the lower levels of the system when you kind of broke into the Astros coaching ranks, and who are a couple of those guys that you've gotten to work with at least a little bit that are out in Houston right now?
Yeah, I remember my first spring training in 2019, working with Luis Garcia in the bullpen a little bit. I've always been a huge fan of him as a person, and clearly the talent speaks for itself on the mound. And you know, I was around Jose Urquidy quite a bit during his rehab process last year when I was at the complex, and he's an absolute pleasure to be around too. Very professional, and I actually learned a lot just watching how a guy like him just goes about his daily business and the way he prepares both mentally and physically.
That's got to be one of the traits that really sets those types of guys apart and helps get them to the big league level, not only with just their stuff being filthy, but also their discipline. Is that something that really stands out to you about those guys?
Absolutely. And I think that's not the big separator, but one big separator between guys that make it to the highest level and guys that maybe don't. And I do think it can be taught, but that is definitely something that I feel like some of those guys at that level that have came up through our system, they sort of have it innately, and I think that they've just sort of ran with the opportunities that have presented themselves, and I think their mental fortitude and their discipline is a big reason for that.
Let's talk about some of the guys from this year that are starting to show some of those qualities in Fayetteville this year. You know, the Astros have done a really good job of going beyond the United States and finding guys in Latin American countries that have gone on to be big leaguers like Garcia and Valdez. You know, we had Misael Tamarez really show out in this league last year, and now he's up at the AA level. The newest version of that has been Miguel Loyola and Edinson Bautista this year, just a couple of guys that come to mind. Miguel Loyola is now a top 20 prospect in the Astros system, voted the best pitching prospect, I think, by the coaches around the league when they were picking guys with the best skills. And Edinson Bautista really shows just a maturity beyond a 20-year-old. Both of those guys just 20 years old now. What can you say about the season? Let's talk Uyola first that he's had, because I feel like nobody really knew his name coming into this year, and now he's turning a lot of heads, and he's getting some recognition for the first time ever as a pro.
Yeah, he was somewhat of an unheralded signing for us out of the DR, and he signed when he was a little older. He was 18 when he signed, and mm-hmm. he started his career out down in the Dominican, and he was promoted to the West Palm Beach Complex at the end of last summer, so probably about a year ago, mm-hmm. right around this time of year. But you know, something with Uyola that separates him is, I feel like he's the type of person that no matter how much attention or no matter how much buzz is created around him as a prospect, he's always going to be the same person. He's very, very consistent in the way he shows up to the park every day, from the way he carries himself to the routine that he goes through to prepare his body for a throwing program or a bullpen. Like, he's very, very consistent, and he's also a fantastic human being. So that it makes my job a lot easier when you get that consistency showing up to the park every day, along with just being an excellent kid.
And Edinson Bautista, like just mentioned, he's 20 years old like Uyola, but in some way it almost, you just watch that dynamic around the clubhouse a little bit, it almost felt like he was the father figure in a way, and Uyola and him really bounced off each other a lot. What impressed you most about Edinson Bautista? Because you could always find those guys around each other, and now Edinson, while he's not technically a top 30 prospect by some measures, if you're looking at the rankings, he put together some of the best numbers by any Fayetteville arm this year, led the team in strikeouts, sub-3 ERA, one of the lowest ERAs in the league, and now he's up to high A, rightfully so. What'd you like about his season down here in Fayetteville?
Absolutely tireless worker.
Yeah.
Unbelievably hard worker. He has one of the better work ethics that I think I've ever been around, and it's almost to a detriment, to where we've actually had to rein him back at times this year from doing too much, just for the sake of making sure that he's recovering properly in between innings, or I'm sorry, in between outings.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not a bad problem to have by any means, no matter what level you're coaching at. But he's, as far as the clubhouse dynamic, they're just two completely different personalities in my eyes. Bautista is much more mellow and laid back. You know, he has fun and he loves to joke around, but Uyola can be off the ball. He's got a little bit of craziness in him, which I really like, and he's mature enough to where he can rein it in. And when I think a good quality that both those guys have is they love the people that they're around. They love coming to the park every day, but when it's time to work, it's time to work, and that's something that they both have, but that's something that I really, really see and respect in Bautista.
A lot of your work, of course, happens in between those starts for guys when Uyola finishes up, and then between then and his next start. You know, fans look at it from the ERA, the strikeouts, the walks, those basic pitching stats, but now there's so much data available for you as a pitching coach to analyze, and others around the organization with things like TrackMan and Hawkeye. Guy comes off the mound, you know, what are a couple of the things that you're looking at to define his night and work on the next day, kind of breaking down, you know, the pitch? What are a couple of things you look for out of a guy beyond just the walks and the strikeouts each time he goes on to the mound, out to the mound, whoever it is on a given night?
Yeah, so that's pretty individualized. A lot of these guys are working on different things. So, for instance, After someone's outing, take Uyola for example. We've really been working to improve his curveball. We're really trying to get him a bigger break on that particular offering. So that's generally, you know, the first thing that I would pull up on him. Usually if a guy's working on a new pitch and we're trying to influence the movement profile of that pitch, that's what I'm going to first, just because at the end of the day, I personally am a firm believer in, if you don't have quality stuff, then you don't really have a shot, right? So at the end of the day, you know, if these guys don't have nasty pitches, then I'm not doing my job. So always look at the movement profiles and the velocities. A guy like Batista, who's you know, got some really, really quality breaking balls, some decent velo. For me, I'm probably more so going over locations and, you know, what pitches he's throwing in certain counts and how he's pitching to the attack plan that we lay out before the game. And then also, we're very fortunate with the Astros to have an awesome camera system around the stadium that you know, I'm looking at video all the time. So that's another big thing, is a lot of these guys, especially those younger guys like Batista and Urriola, they're still growing into their bodies and really finding ways to sequence properly and really trying to find some consistency in the way they move.
Yeah, no doubt. If you don't see John in the bullpen, there's a good chance he's at his laptop at the desk watching film and and breaking guys down. Last thing, John, you know, we just had the draft, of course, and finally we have some of those 2022 guys coming in after a little bit of a period where it was only the field position players that were with us. But we saw Nolan DeVos and Tyler Guilfoyle go out there in their debuts and help close down a shutout of the Charleston River Dogs, team with the best record in our league right now, and a solid start for them. And it seemed like the Astros really prioritized maybe more of the college type pitcher this year. They went heavy on the pitching there in rounds 3 through 5. Do you think there was a common trait that the Astros kind of aimed for this year in the draft when it came to bringing new pitchers into the system? Anything that stands out to you in the early going so far?
Definitely. You know, some commonalities that I've seen. I mean, we only have 4 pitchers from the draft currently here, but just speaking specifically on the guys I've seen in live game action so far, it's quality fastballs and an innate ability to control the strike zone. Working ahead in the count, you know, not really letting in bats get away from them. I thought that was super impressive. Those are two things that those guys did fairly well. Nolan had a couple walks mixed in there, but he also had the punch outs to go along with it, which tells me that it's in there. We just might need to get a little more consistency as far as that pitch execution goes. Mm-hmm. But that's a very common trait that I've seen with the crop of arms this year, is just really quality heaters and an innate ability to pound the zone.
Good chance we'll get to see a few more of those 2022 draft picks on the mound for the Woodpeckers by season's end. John, we like to end these interviews the same way. Some shout-outs. I know we probably have some friends or family of yours that like to tune into the broadcast every once in a while. So who are we shouting out tonight on the pregame show?
Yeah, I'd like to shout out my mom and dad, Cindy and Les Kovalik. They're actually going to be in town here for the beginning of the Lynchburg series, our final homestand. Miss and love you guys. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Alex, my brother, and Kristen, my sister. I miss and love you guys very much.
All right. It is.
One more. Yeah, one last thing. I have 2 fantasy football drafts this Sunday, and Chappie, I expect your help on them.
So. Oh, absolutely. I went Justin Jefferson in the first round, non-PPR in my first one, John. So we'll sit down and we'll get you a trophy team this year. It's pitching coach John Kovalik. You can find him on the top step of the Woodpeckers dugout with a clipboard in hand. And we thank him for joining us today on the pregame show. Thanks, John.
Awesome. Thank you, Chappie.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Let's hear it for Holly Smith.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers Baseball is live on the air in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. Friday Night Baseball, game 4 of 6 between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Charleston River Dogs, the single-A affiliates of the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. Hello, everybody. Welcome back inside again to the Woodpeckers broadcast booth. I'm Andrew Chapman alongside my main man, Colin Casey, and we are ready to bring you all 9 innings tonight live on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app. A reminder that tonight's broadcast is also available in beautiful HD video quality by subscribing to MILB.TV. Subscribe now. Use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout. Get $10 off your annual subscription for the rest of 2022 and the 2023 season. Woodpeckers won 3-0, a shutout victory on Wednesday night. That ended a franchise record 11-game losing streak. But yesterday, Charleston back in the win column in a big way. 12-3, the final score. Woodpeckers did take a 3-0 lead early, but Charleston went on to score 12 unanswered runs in that game. A big go-in-front, 6-run, 8-hit, 4th inning was the differentiator in that one. But now right-hander Nick Swanson is on the mound, and he's trying to continue his stretch of good baseball on the hill when he's in a starter's role. He has no record as a starter, but a 2.84 ERA, 4.83 ERA in total on the season, 3-2 overall record, 21 games, 10 starts, 72 innings for Swanson. He's given up 35 earned runs, 9 home runs, 46 walks, and 80 strikeouts. The Charleston River Dogs, led by second-year manager Blake Butera, will lead off with Shane Sasaki. Carson Williams, he hits second, and then Ryan Spikes is third. Junior Caminero, the cleanup hitter, does the DH hitting. He is followed by Kenny Piper, the five-bat, the catcher. O'Neill Manzueta is sixth. He'll play in right. Nate Perry, the former Woodpecker, is seventh over at first base. Diwar Castellanos, he is eight. And rounding it out is Alejandro Pie. The very first pitch from Nick Swanson to Shane Sasaki is pulled foul into his own third base dugout. And we are underway in downtown Fayetteville. Thanks again for being with us tonight. A 7:10 start time tonight in downtown Fayetteville. It is currently sunny and 86 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. It's another beautiful night for baseball after the 40-minute rain delay last night. Not a drop today. Change up stayed a little high on Sasaki. And the Charleston leadoff hitter is in front. Here's the pitch. And it's high again at the shoulders of Sasaki. And that'll get the ball to count, that is, to 3 balls and 1 strike. Sasaki, he comes in to today's game, a 3-18 hitter. That pitch is outside. It's ball 4, leadoff man aboard, playing in game number 80 of his season. And as Sasaki reaches base, Carson Williams comes to the plate, and Colin has the Woodpeckers defense for you behind Swanson in this one.
Yeah, Fayetteville coming in with a 969 fielding percentage on the season, 128 errors as a team. John Garcia makes his Fayetteville Woodpeckers debut. He is behind the plate doing the catching for Swanson.
Slide step home, and a slider is down and outside for ball 1 to Williams.
Garrett McGowan at first. Leo's Danny Molina, the second baseman. Jackson Lofton, the shortstop. Tommy Sacco back in the lineup at third. In the outfield, left to right, Ryan Clifford, Tyler Whitaker, and Rolando Espinosa making his return to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers lineup.
Swanson keeping tabs on the runners right out of the gate as he throws over to first, and Sasaki dives back in. Woodpeckers have a unique uniform on tonight. I'll tell you about that in a moment. It's a 90s theme night at the park. Look over the shoulder, and the pitch home is up and outside. 2-ball count to Carson Williams. It is all that. You remember that show from the 90s, All That? I almost forgot about it. I had to go back and look at old clips on YouTube. But I did watch it as a kid.
Chappie, I'm 4 years younger than you.
Yeah.
I knew about that. I was born in 99.
Yeah, here's the pitch. It is belt high, a little maybe higher than that, but called a strike anyways. And All That logo of the show right on the front of the uniform, 90s Nickelodeon night. It's a pointed collar, a yellow collar, a orange and yellow detail around the sleeves of the uniform, a black uni with black belts and white pants, black pinstripe down the side of the leg. Pitch is down below the zone to Williams, and it's 3 balls and a strike. Nick Swanson almost looks like his uniform is a size too big on him. The sleeves are really big on those uniforms. He wears the number 27 on the back of that All That uniform. It is in orange. And you can bring one of those home tonight. Follow Woodpecker social media for some of the online auction links. Here comes the 3-1 pitch, and it is up and outside, another walk. And Nick Swanson gives up a pair right out of the gate. Down to first goes Williams. To second is Shane Sasaki. Ryan spikes the hitter. Charleston is back in the Navy Blues today, that Navy Blue uniform that says Holy City across the chest in white. The white letters trimmed in yellow, a white piping pattern down the buttons of the uniform. White numbers on the backs, a navy blue belt, gray pants, and a navy blue pinstripe down the side of the leg for Charleston. Navy blue helmets as well for the hitters. And Spike swings at the first one, pops it up, out into the shallow left field grass. Jackson Lofton going back on, and he makes the catch. Didn't have too far to go, and there's one away. A much needed out for Nick Swanson. And it helps that it was on the first pitch of the at-bat as well.
Yeah, a little surprised that Spikes was swinging at the first pitch after back-to-back walks to open up the ball game. He's a power hitter, 10 home runs on the season, and looked like he did get a good pitch to hit, but swung right underneath it. An easy play made just on the outfield grass by Lofton.
Junior Caminero is the right-handed batter in. And here's the pitch from Swanson. It is a slider that falls into the zone. Good one, and it's 0-1. Out of the lineup, you may have noticed tonight for Charleston, is Willie Vasquez, the Carolina League Player of the Month for July. That's a big piece of their offense, and he's getting the night off here in Game 4 of the series. See if Nick Swanson and the Woodpeckers can take advantage of that. Slider, a check swing, they appeal, and the base umpire, Stephen Craze, says he didn't go. It's a 1-ball, 1-strike count. Craze working the bases. Trey Jester is behind home plate. The two-man umpiring crew in the black ball caps, black polos. They wear gray pants. Swanson with runners at first and second. No score in this top one. Kicks home. And a pop fly is hit to the right side. McGowan giving it a look onto the extended warning track, but that'll fall into the Avex Club. 1-ball and 2-strike count on Junior Caminero, the designated hitter.
You mentioned no Vasquez for Charleston, no Zach DeCenzo tonight for the Woodpeckers.
Yeah.
Both of them riding Carolina League longs, 11-game hitting streak for both.
Charleston leads this series 2-1 after the big win last night in a pitch clock violation on Nick Swanson. He was taking a little bit of extra time there, and sure enough, he let the clock bleed all the way down. So that'll take it from 1-2 to 2-2 even. Caminero comes into tonight's game batting .255, only playing in his 16th game of the season for Charleston. That breaking ball is down to the dirt, make it his 15th game rather. Caminero with a couple of home runs so far. He's driven in 9 runs. Good chance to get into double digits in the RBI column here. 5 walks to 13 strikeouts. He's in a full count. Nick Swanson trying to avoid another walk to load the bases. His pitch is golfed out into center field. Playable for Whitaker, sprinting forward. Slows to a jog, camps his feet, makes the catch. And that ball sent Whitaker in a long way, but it was way up there, high arcer that he was easily able to find a spot on. And Junior Caminero flies out, pop out, fly out, follow the walks. And Nick Swanson puts himself in a good spot now with 2 away. And the right-handed hitting catcher Kenny Piper stepping in.
It's big that he's able to get some quick outs after the walks, considering his pitch count's been relatively low his last 2 outings. He has not eclipsed 55 pitches in either of his last 2 appearances.
Might have a chance to provide a little length today. Woodpeckers would love to see him pitch into the middle innings if possible. 5, maybe 6. First pitch ball outside. It was close. 1-0 on Piper. Swanson's last time out here at home was a successful one. 5 innings of 1-run baseball against the Down East Wood Ducks. That was on August 14th. The 1-0 is a fastball strike. 1-1. 5 innings, just 3 hits given up. The 1 run on a home run. He walked 1 and struck out 3. Kate, 5 batters over 3 innings his last time out. That was on the road in Carolina against the Mudcats. Runners dancing around. Looked like a double steal might have been on. Swanson, undeterred, throws a fastball, or make it a slider for a strike, and it's now 1-2. Kenny Piper was out of the lineup yesterday's catching, so he was scheduled for a day off. As Julio Meza slotted him to his spot and had a huge game, a four-hit game with two doubles and a triple. Both runners on the move. This ball is hit off the end of the bat. Swanson off the left side of the mound, collects and hustles over to first himself. McGowan was way over towards second base. Swanson had to do it all alone, and he does. He gets himself out of the inning. Two runners left on the pair of walks, and we're heading to the bottom of the first. It'll be Sacco, Clifford, and Melton to lead it off. We have the rest of the Woodpeckers lineup card as well when we come back.
It's time to welcome back into Segra Stadium the best bird in the world, Bunker. Bunker's entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Fans, make some noise! It's Bunker! Free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three. On the mound for the River Dogs, J.J. Goss. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 14, Tommy Sacco.
Just underway in downtown Fayetteville, J.J. Goss, the Charleston starting pitcher, delivers the first one outside to Tommy Sacco, the switch hitter, batting from the left side. Nick Swanson worked around a pair of walks in the top of the first, went scoreless. Here's the 1-0. Sacco takes downstairs, and it's 2-0. Ryan Clifford, the lefty, is next, and then Jacob Melton. It'll be three straight left-handed bats for J.J. Goss to deal with, the right-handed pitcher. Tyler Whitaker, the cleanup hitter, then Jackson Lofton and Garrett McGowan. Tommy Sacco hits a deep line drive out into right center field. It's Overman's weights his head off the base of the fence. Sacco hustling to second base. He has started the night with a double. Tommy Sacco found a gap. It looked like Manzueta had a good angle to that ball, like he was going to cut it off and make the play, but it got just over his head. A line drive that continued to carry. Might have had a little backspin behind it. And Sacco picks up his second double and third extra base hit in a Woodpeckers uniform.
Yeah, and now at this point, a third of his hits have been for extra bases. This is his ninth hit so far in Fayetteville. And when he's able to get a hold of the ball, he knows how to find the gap. On top of that, the leadoff speed to leg out an extra base or two. Great guy to have at that leadoff spot as a switch hitter that can also hit for power at times.
Crowd continuing to file in. Good crowd on hand tonight at Segra with the great weather we have. Only one more Friday night fireworks show after tonight. So come out and enjoy it while you can. Ryan Clifford in a nothing and one count to begin his at-bat. What a debut it was for him yesterday, reaching in all five plate appearances. And the pitch is up high. Walked four times and also punched a shallow single into center. One ball and one strike count. Clifford, the 19-year-old and 11th rounder this year by the Houston Astros. Over $1 million signing bonus to get him away from Vanderbilt. He was going to a top D1 program as a grounder is hit out towards second base. It's picked up by Spikes and he throws over to first to get Ryan Clifford. So Ryan Clifford no longer Mr. 1,000 in the average department or the OBP department. Now a 500 batting average for the youngster, and here comes Jacob Melton. That ground ball, though, did push Sacco the possible first run of the game down to third.
Missed a very productive out. Anything on the right side of the infield, and you get that guy over. Now just a fly ball needed for a fly ball hitter.
First pitch to Melton is hoisted foul left side. Nothing and one. J.J. Goss, 3-5 record, 4.40 ERA with Charleston this year. He's made 22 appearances, all in the starter role. 86 innings, 42 earned runs. Melton whacks this one right side, and it's pulled in by Perry. He'll go to first and allow the run to score. Tommy Sacco touches home plate, and the Woodpeckers are on the board first tonight. A 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. RBI ground out from Jacob Melton. Good to see Jacob just put the ball in play in the early going, Colin.
Absolutely, and great heads-up base running by Sacco. The second he saw that ball hit the ground and go up the first baseline, he took off and forced Perry's hand to make a decision. He didn't want to force that throw home, so he just took the sure route and conceded the run.
Here's a bouncing ball up the middle, fielded by Spikes on the shortstop side of second. He throws off balance, gets it to Perry in time to beat the speedy Tyler Whitaker. One pitch and Whitaker is retired. Woodpeckers score a run, the Tommy Sacco double. He comes in on the Jacob Melton rollout. And after one inning tonight, it's 1-0 Woodpeckers.
Industry Smile Cam.
What I want, you got, it might be hard to handle. Like a flame that burns a candle. A candle feeds a flame. Yeah, yeah, what I got, full stock of thoughts and dreams to scatter. When you pull them all together, and I can't explain. Oh, yeah, well, why don't you?
Provide Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Nick Swanson. Leading off the top of the second inning for the River Dogs, the right fielder, number 17, O'Neill Swanson.
Nick Swanson is back out there to start the inning. And the first pitch to O'Neill Manzueta is popped up onto the top of the press box for a foul ball. And it is 0-1. Manzueta will be followed by Nate Perry and then Daiwer Castellanos. Swanson's wind and pitch is a little bit high. Fastball to Manzueta, 1-1. Swanson started out with a couple of walks, and then worked around it with a pop out, a fly out, and a ground out to strand two runners. Pitch down and outside. Last night, of course, Charleston won big, 12-3, but the story was how many runners were left on base for both offenses. The Woodpeckers left 14 on, and even though they scored 12 runs, that is, the River Dogs left 14 on.
That's got to be close to franchise record as far as home and opponent, home Woodpeckers and their opponent.
Yeah, combined runners left aboard. Here's a hard liner on one hop out to short. Jackson Lofton holds sturdy, makes the play. One step to his left. Jackson Lofton allowed that ball to come to him. Read it well. Infield plays true, as it always does here at Segra Stadium, and Lofton completes it to get Manzueta out number one. That's four in a row retired now by Swanson.
I said last night how great of a defensive middle infield Lofton and Molina are. The great thing about it, they're interchangeable. They were at the opposite positions last night with Molina at short, Lofton at second base. Lofton moves over to short, no problem spearing that.
Nate Perry puts a charge into this one, and it is long gone to right field. The former Woodpecker has homered once again at Segra Stadium. A no-doubt blast to right field. And that one's got to feel good for Nate. He ties the game 1-1 in the top of the second inning.
I heard a few claps around Segra Stadium for some of the people that remembered Nate. Obviously a lot of claps as well for the Charleston dugout. I mean, he got every bit of that ball straight away right field, no question about it. One hop straight out of Segra Stadium. Talked about the answers last night for Charleston after falling behind 3-0, and they only needed two at-bats. And the former Woodpecker gets them right back in it.
Pitch was left a little bit high, and Nate Perry turned it around for home run number 4 this year and RBI number 16 with the River Dogs. Here's the pitch to Castellanos, and he pulls the bat out of the way, trying to drop a bunt down. That is a long home run. Nate Perry just landed short of the train tracks out there. And we saw him put a couple into Healy's last year. And here he is in the road dugout doing it again. A soft line drive pulled to the right side, a foul ball from Daimler Castellanos. That's also the 10th home run given up by Nick Swanson this season. He had a great stretch first half of the year of limiting the long ball, and the bulk of those home runs have come in the second half of the season. 1-1 off the end of the bat towards third. Sacco able to pick up, and his throw is high, but McGowan adjusts, pulls it in on the foul side of the line, and there is now two outs. But for Swanson, you look at the game long, he gave up just one home run over his first 7 games and then didn't give up another home run for 5 afterwards. So one home run over 12 games. And then a lot of those, like we mentioned, have been backloaded. He's now given up a home run in 3 of his last 4 appearances. Gave up a couple of long balls on August 9th. That was here at home against Down East. Swinging a foul tip on a slider from PA. After giving up those 2 home runs to the Wood Ducks, he made that big-time adjustment and diced them up for 5 innings and just one run on 3 hits.
And to Nick's credit, a lot of these home runs have been solo shots.
Yeah. And now he gets a strikeout. Great bounce back from Nick Swanson following the home run. A ground out and a strikeout. And the game is tied after 1.5 tonight. 1-1 score. Woodpeckers and River Dogs continues in a moment.
Hey fans, guess what time it is? It's t-shirt time! Make some noise for the Brian Hunter t-shirt toss and Lobster Man. She was singing in my ear, you would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Okay. Conversation got heavy. Hey. She had me feeling like she's ready to. Watch out! Launch a ball is back. Before the fireworks show, you'll be able to throw your numbered tennis ball onto the field to try and win a variety of prizes. Launch a balls can be purchased at the fan information table directly inside the main gates. Balls are 1 for $1 or 6 for $5. Buy your launch a balls now.
Full of diamonds, you can hardly hear me speak. Especially when it's sound like this. It's the H-Tab, baby, and you know what it is. Got Stephon cup for the bar. So deep in my old school.
It's the bottom of the second. We're now tied 1-1. And right-hander Jackson Lofton digs in to face J.J. Goss. The first pitch is a slider into the zone, and it is 0-1. Lofton, Garrett McGowan, and then John Garcia, the 3 scheduled. Lofton takes a breaking ball a little bit downstairs, 1-1. Woodpeckers had a brief lead on the RBI ground out from Jacob Melton, but Nate Perry ties the game with a solo home run to right field. Center cut fastball and a tough one to look at for Lofton. Might have thought it was a little bit outside. It's now 1-2. Second baseman spikes towards the middle, playing deep, and Lofton strikes out swinging. He got the slider from J.J. Goss, and there was a lot of mixing of speeds, and that's that at bat. Slider for strike one, fastball for strike two, and then the off-speed retires Lofton.
Didn't get a chance to do the first thing. Let's take a look at the Charleston defense. Kenny Piper back in the lineup doing the catching for Goss. Nathan Perry, who homered in the top half of the inning over at first base. It is Ryan Spikes, the second baseman. Carson Williams at short. Alejandro P.A. at third.
McGowan swings through, and it's now nothing and two on a pair of sliders his way.
Daiwer Castellanos in left. Shane Sasaki, the center fielder. O'Neill Manzueta in right for Charleston.
And McGowan goes down swinging on three pitches. He got no fastballs during that at bat. Two sliders and a changeup to finish him off. Strong second inning for J.J. Goss. And here's John Garcia. Garcia in his Woodpeckers debut tonight. Welcome to town, John, the Bronx, New York native. 21-year-old. He went to Grambling State University. He's playing catcher tonight. First pitch getaway fastball way up high. Went all the way to the backstop. 1-0. John, 21 years old. Mentioned 19th rounder and catching in this one, the pitch. It came in, and did it get the knob of the bat? No, it got a piece of Garcia. Hit him on the wrist area. And his first trip to the plate as a Woodpecker results in an HBP.
Yeah, it's the second guy this year to get hit in his first plate appearance. Same thing happened to Jackson Lofton the first time he stepped in for the Woodpeckers, but I'm sure he'll take it. Two-out base runner. We'll see if Garcia is in motion at all.
Now it's Leo's Danny Molina trying to forget about a tough night yesterday. And he swings and hits the first pitch opposite field, right to field for Manzueta. Coming in on it, he makes the catch. That'll end the inning. So Molina flies out quickly. J.J. Goss also strikes out a pair, leaves a man stranded. We're tied 1-1 after two innings tonight at Segra Stadium. Come back next, the third inning, next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, show us those tumblers. So cool. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ. Fans, at this time, we'd like to recognize our nonprofit of the night. Tonight's nonprofit of the night is PSYOP. Regimental Association for Fort Bragg Chapter. For more information about how you can be a nonprofit of the night, visit our fan information table. Now that the party is jumping, with the bass kicked in and the Vegas are pumping. Quick to the point, no faking. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon. Burning them, being quick and nimble. I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat with a souped-up tempo. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo. Rolling, hit my 5.0 with my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi. Did you stop? No, I just drove, I kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis. Jealous, cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine. Ready for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Nick Swanson. Leading off the top of the third inning for the River Dogs, the center fielder, number 6, Shane Sasaki.
Through two tonight at Segra, Nick Swanson is back out to work. We're tied 1-1. Top of the order is up. And now to bat, here is also Colin Casey.
Just like Ray Thomas right there, that's that right. Introduction. Dead on. Shane Sasaki takes strike one from Swanson. And Swanson comes back with a fastball. Nothing and two. Sasaki drew a walk to begin the ball game. but was stranded at second base after Swanson got three straight outs after two straight walks to begin the ball game. Sasaki lines one down the left field line, foul by about 2 feet. Swanson did get a chance to face this River Dogs team in the only other series between the two teams this season. That was back in the early part of May, May 7th. Came in out of the bullpen, went three innings, gave up one earned run on three hits, no walks, pair of strikeouts over three innings. A wave and a miss, and Sasaki goes down on strikes. The second strikeout for Swanson. He now has back-to-back punchouts, and the first man is retired in the third.
Well, K-Strut on that one for Swanson. Took a peek over the shoulder at Sasaki after he beat him with a fastball. I think Swanson maybe pitching a little mad after giving up the home run in the second. He's been stellar since then.
Carson Williams, the batter, takes strike one on the outside corner. Good location now from Swanson. Again, two walks in that first inning. He'd only walked a batter in each of his last two appearances, so pretty rare to see him, at least in the month of August, kind of losing his command. 0-2 on Williams. But we did walk four batters against Down East back on August 9th. Breaking ball and a late decision to swing by Williams, and he can't connect. Three in a row now struck out by Swanson, and there are quickly two down in the third.
A couple of tough hitters to dispose of there. Sasaki, top batter on the team. Williams, the first-round draft pick, doing it a couple different ways. The fastball and the slider. Swanson locked in.
Now try to deliver the same fate to Ryan Spikes. 1-0 count to Spikes, back in the lineup after having yesterday off. Pop-out victim his first time up. He had no rough 0-for-4 performance back on Wednesday night. A little bit low, 2-0. Rare instance where both teams wearing dark colors tonight with the all-that uniforms for Fayetteville and the navy blue roads for Charleston. Grounder heading towards short. Lofton charges, throws on the run. It gets wild and bounces off the facing the dugout. McGowan hustling back to tag out Spikes, who was really nonchalant in getting back to the base and was able to get his foot in before the tag, but he made it a little bit closer than it needed to be. Should be a throwing error on Lofton, although he had to hustle that throw. A lot of speed coming down the line from Spikes. As of now, actually, that's on the board as a base hit, so if it holds up, second hit of the ball game for Charleston. Spikes takes his lead off first, and the first pitch to Junior Caminero down and outside.
Yep, that'll go down as a single on the official score. A little bit of an extraordinary effort there for Jackson Lofton, unless Spikes advanced. Then you would have to apply the air.
Swanson doesn't miss by much, 2-0. Caminero, just 19 years old, added earlier this month to the roster, back 2 weeks ago today. And he cracks one up the middle. It hits the mound and jumps over the glove of Leo's Danny Molina into center field, but it was hit so hard that Ryan Spikes was only able to get one base out of it. He stands at second. Back-to-back two-out singles for the River Dogs. Caminero on first, and Kenny Piper will bat with two away.
Caminero's had a couple of hard-hit balls in this series. That one just missed a pair of Woodpeckers by inches. It got right between the feet of Nick Swanson, and it's a good thing that I didn't get a piece of him. Otherwise, he would have been limping around. That one would have really hurt. And then Molina, I think he had the right height on his jump. His glove was just a little bit to the side of the ball. It almost sounded like it nicked off some of the lacing. So he was right there, very close to making a play.
Piper takes ball one. River Dogs leading the South Division by 3.5 games. Trying to take home the second half title. Double steal is on. Fastball inside. Skipped in. Garcia nearly nailed Spikes at third base, but he's just able to get in. That ball actually got there on the fly. Sacco able to get his glove underneath it. but couldn't place the tag in time. So stolen base for Spikes, one for Caminero, and two in scoring position. Two and oh count. Swanson outside, 3-0. 15th stolen base for Ryan Spikes, just the second for Caminero. First base is open. O'Neill Manzueta on deck. The 3-0. That fastball's in for a strike. And you mentioned it earlier, Chappie. Perfect night for baseball. No clouds in the sky. After a rainy start to yesterday that led to a 40-minute delay. Driven out to right center field by Piper. Whitaker moving to his left, makes the catch in front of the warning track, and the inning is over. So Nick Swanson able to strand a couple of runners in scoring position and keep the ball game tied at one as we head to the bottom of the third inning from Segra Stadium.
Let us know where you're sitting.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and my guys ain't can I. All the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up and let me hit a party say, I'm kind of buzzed and it's all because
this is how we do it.
South Central does it like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
To all my neighbors, you got much flavor.
This is how we do it.
Let's flip the crack with the old school bag.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. All hands are in the air and wave them from here to there. If you're an OG Mac or a wannabe player, you see the hood's been good to me ever since I was a lowercase G. But now I'm a big G. The girls see I got the money, $100 bills, y'all. If you were from where I'm from, then you would know that I gotta get mine in a big black truck. You can get yours in a six ball. Whatever it is, the party's underway. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up.
Welcome back to Fayetteville, Rolando Espinosa, number 9 hitter in the lineup for the Woodpeckers. Bats to begin the bottom of the third inning. J.J. Goss starts him off with a breaking ball called a strike. Espinosa spending some time this year in Fayetteville, also with the Complex League, 45 games down in Florida. He hit .253 this season over those 45 games. 6 home runs, 32 runs batted in. And prior to his return, played 4 games in Fayetteville. Went 0-for-9, but drew 3 walks to go along with 5 strikeouts. 1-1 to Espinosa is lined into left field. There's a base hit, and the first single-A hit for Rolando Espinosa leads off the bottom of the third. Second hit of the ball game for the Woodpeckers. Tommy Sacco will bat for the second time. Saw a lot of quality and plate appearances from Espinosa in his brief time with the Woodpeckers. He was in that series at the start of July on the road in Zebulon. Was able to play the last couple of games there, came back home for the following series, and then was sent back down to the Complex League in the middle of July. He's back up and 1-for-1 since his return. He's on the move. Fastball to Sacco, called a strike. The throw down, the tag, not in time. Williams couldn't get it down in on Espinosa. Had his first single, now his first stolen base.
Close play, and he just got that left hand in. Throw is arriving in time for Piper, and Williams dropped the tag pretty well, but that's where your break off first is going to be the ultimate decider on whether you steal the bag or not. And it's good reflexes by Espinoza going to first movement, that is.
1-1 to Sacco, who's looking to follow up the double he had in the first inning. Waves and misses at it. Espinoza, I believe, just the second Woodpecker to have two stints after going down to the Complex League, the other being Ronnie Garcia. Like Espinoza so far, been really good since his return. Sacco, a wave and a miss, and Goss strikes him out. Third punch out for Goss so far. And he has the first out with Espinoza still standing at second base. Another RBI opportunity for Ryan Clifford. He set up Jacob Melton, who brought home Sacco in the first inning on a ground out. The ground out to the right side of his own. Pitch to Clifford. Espinoza on the move, trying to steal third, and this time he's out by a mile. Throw from Piper was perfect, but Alejandro Pie at third was almost waiting for Espinoza to get to the bag to tag him out. He's caught stealing for the second out, and the bases are clear.
Yeah, you run a big risk there trying to take third after the play was especially close at second. Piper showed off that arm, that accuracy in the previous stolen base, and always easier, a little easier as a catcher to get him down at third.
2-0 on Clifford. Goss responding well after giving up the opening run in the first inning. Gets a breaking ball over. 2-1. He was a really talented arm coming out of high school. Finished his 2019 season with an 11-2 record and a 0.64 earned run average. Down and in, 3-1 on Clifford. Get this ratio, 147 strikeouts to just 28 walks, including a perfect game as well as Clifford. It's a towering fly ball out to left field. Castellanos moving back in, makes the one-handed grab to end the inning. So Espinoza leads off with a single, but is caught stealing third, and J.J. Goss faces the minimum in the bottom of the third inning. On to the fourth, still a 1-1 ball game on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take it away, DP.
There is no better place to celebrate a birthday than right here at Seger Stadium with some Woodpeckers baseball. I'm here with my man, Robert. Robert, say hello.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Hard to believe he's turning 21 today. He can drink now. No, just kidding. He's 48. I need everybody in this stadium, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, to help me sing happy birthday to this young man. Are you ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday. Come on! Happy birthday to you, Robert. Happy birthday to you. That's right. Hey, give me a go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
There's not a better place to take in your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the River Dogs, the right fielder, number 17, O'Neill Manzueta.
O'Neill Manzueta kicks things off in the top of the fourth inning. Charleston 1, Fayetteville 1. Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman. First pitch hammered on the ground to third. Tommy Sacco snares it, throws to McGowan in time. One pitch, one out for Nick Swanson to begin his fourth inning on the mound. I'll bring up Nathan Perry, the only blemish on the scorecard for Swanson tonight. Solo home run to deep right field. Perry's fourth home run of the season and his first against his former team. Lefty awaits the first pitch, misses a little bit low and catches home plate umpire Trey Jester. Seems like more and more, Chappie, Perry's been playing at first base as opposed to catching, so seems like Charleston is moving him back over to first base instead of having him do some more catching, as there's a look at Trey Jester right now. Stephen Craze making sure he's okay, and Trey shaking him off. Good sign.
Yeah, well, you know, for Nate, you know, when he was in the Astros system, there was a little bit more of a willingness to utilize him at catcher. I think they loved his bat with Houston. You know, the speed element for him is the one thing that might have sold him just a little bit short. But, hey, if you can figure out how to hit this level and continue to develop your bat, then there's always going to be a spot for you somewhere at first base or in a DH role. Now with the universal DH rules entering the major leagues. So for Nate, the bat's what's going to carry him a long way. No doubt he looks healthy. I think that's one of the big things as well right now that's helping him along.
And there's the bat again as he hits one to center field. This one will stay in the park, though. Tyler Whitaker runs it down. Swanson quickly with the first two outs of the fourth inning.
But, yeah, if Nate can continue to, you know, hit for power, keep a high slugging percentage, find ways to get drive guys in, then I think the Tampa Bay Rays will find spots for him higher up in the system.
You mentioned with the universal DH, you wonder back in the last 15, 20 years or so, all the guys that were overlooked because of their hitting, because they weren't defensive specialists, especially in the National League. A swing and a miss in Dyer Castellanos falls behind 0-1. Pitch from Swanson leaves a curveball high and outside. Especially a bunch of those guys in the National League that hit the ball really well, but managers just couldn't find a place for them out in the field. Fouled off by Castellanos. One of the guys that comes to mind for me is former Houston Astro Carlos Lee. Back when the Astros used to be in the National League, Lee, big-time power bat, but was a bit of a liability in the field and kind of led to him having such a short prime because teams just couldn't really figure out a place to play him. I think Milwaukee was another team that Lee ended up playing on. But he didn't end up sticking around as long as I initially thought he would with the hitting ability he presented. Full count now on Castellanos. Alejandro Pie waits on deck. Yeah, Lee finished a 285 hitter in his career. 358 home runs. Ended up starting out his career in left field and then found his way over towards first base. Now, granted, when he got to Houston, he was 31 years old. He was an all-star in his first season in 2007. He had spent 2006 with Milwaukee and then Texas after the deadline. A grounder to the right side. Molina waits for it. Throw on to first. And a 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth inning. The first of the night for Nick Swanson. He's given up just one run through four innings. And it is still a 1-1 ball game as we go to the bottom of the fourth from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FanDuelWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
One lucky season ticket holder to be our Hutchins High Performance season ticket holder of the game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's High Performance season ticket holder of the game is Tommy Brown. Congratulations, Tommy. Cool as a fan.
Me on the phone. You can tell my arms go back into the
Fans, don't forget, you can own one of these game-worn and autographed jerseys. Stop by the fan information table to secure your jersey. Half of tonight's jerseys are available first come, first serve at tonight's in-game sale, and the others are available for purchase online. Online sales will close at 5 p.m. tomorrow. You have less than 24 hours, so what are you waiting for? Secure your jersey now. Back on the mound for the River Dogs, J.J. Goss.
Can't call it sink.
Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 31, Jacob Melton. Let me tell you the whole story.
Man responsible for the lone RBI for Fayetteville tonight, Jacob Melton, leads it off in the bottom of the fourth inning. Still 1-1 from downtown Fayetteville. It's an RBI ground out for Melton to first base. And that brought in Tommy Sacco and kicked off the scoring tonight back in the first inning. 1-1 count for J.J. Goss. Working on his fourth inning. He and Nick Swanson, very impressive performances so far. They've been able to pitch around some trouble and keep both teams off the board for the most part. Fly down the left field line by Melton, and that will make its way out of play. Pretty full house tonight. Great crowd on hand, as it usually is on Friday night. Fireworks after the game. One of the last Fridays down in the summer, as Melton swings through a two-strike breaking ball, and he is retired for the first out. Strikeout number four for J.J. Goss. And with the bases still empty, one down, Tyler Whitaker will bat. Been an impressive August for Whitaker. Four home runs in the month. Hitting .289 and a .372 on-base percentage for the 2021 Houston Astros third-round selection. Hailing from Las Vegas. 1-0 to Whitaker. Goss delivers. Fastball in for a strike. Whitaker's got a brother right now in high school back home in Nevada. That's a pitcher. I believe he's also a Bishop Gorman, just like Tyler was. Of course, Bishop Gorman known for all the talent that has come out of that high school the last several years. Joey Gallo, of course, the big time name at the major league level. Breaking ball called strike three, and Whitaker knew it. Back-to-back strikeouts, and J.J. Goss has fanned three of the last four batters. Five total on the night. And just like Swanson in the top half of the inning, a quick first couple of outs in the bottom of the fourth. Jackson Lofton, who struck out his first time up against Goss. A little bit of a shift on for the infield. Lofton waves and misses. Just two hits so far in the first three games of the series for Jackson Lofton, but both of them for extra bases, a triple and a solo home run. Lofton hits it on the ground to third, picked up by Alejandro Pie, and his throw is in time to retire the side. A 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth for J.J. Goss as he responds to Swanson's perfect top half of the inning. On to fifth from Segra Stadium, still a 1-1 ball game on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Thank you, sir. All right, in honor of 90s night, all that Nickelodeon show from the 90s, I've got 6-year-old Clarissa and her dad, Ray. Say hello, Clarissa. Are you ready, baby?
Yes.
Okay, let's turn around and look at the big screen. We got some questions. What is the name of the talk show Gina and Jessica host? What is the name of the talk show that Gina and Jessica host? Any idea, sweetheart? Anybody? Bueller?
Jessica?
She said Jessica. Is she correct? The answer is whatever. That's okay, baby. We got two more. Which cast member was in the cast for all six seasons of the original era of All That?
Justin Bieber.
She said Justin Bieber. Is she correct? No, she's not correct. One more shot at it, baby. Josh Server. Okay, well, Justin Bieber, Josh Server. Which All That sketch inspired a full-length movie? What movie came from that?
Whatever they're saying.
Huh?
Whatever they are saying.
Huh?
Good Burger.
Good Burger.
Good Burger? Yes! Clarissa is the smartest person in this stadium. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the River Dogs.
On to the fifth from downtown Fayetteville. Nick Swanson back on the mound for the Woodpeckers. 1-1 between Fayetteville and Charleston on this Friday night. Perfect night for baseball and a perfect time for Andrew Chapman to hop back on the play-by-play.
All right, Colin. Great night. Ground ball, left side into left field. And Alejandro Pie has a leadoff base hit. It is the first leadoff hit tonight for Charleston. First time all inning that they have, second time, I should say, along with the walks in the first. Pie is aboard. And the lineup card turns over for a second time. Shane Sasaki is now up. 0-for-1 with a walk and a strikeout. Here's the pitch from Swanson. And it's a slider down and away. One ball and no strikes. Carson Williams next, and then Ryan Spikes is in the hole. Top three hitters. They combined 1-for-4 tonight. Swanson set and pitch. Sasaki pops it out of play. 1-1. The lone run for Charleston, the Nate Perry solo home run in the second, his fourth of the year for the River Dogs. As for Fayetteville, they got a double by Tommy Sacco in the first and an RBI ground out from Jacob Melton. Spinning a pickoff throw to first. PA dives back in. And it's a one ball and one strike count. PA over at first base, he has three stolen bases in three attempts. Doesn't go a ton. And now Sasaki gets a hanging curveball, drills it deep left field. Clifford going back, giving way. It is gone. Onto the berm, a two-run go-ahead home run for Shane Sasaki. A breaking ball that was left in the top portions of the strike zone for Shane Sasaki to drill. And it is a two-run shot, giving Charleston the 3-1 lead. Sasaki circles the bases for the sixth time this year.
Yeah, he's a guy that doesn't strike anyone as a power hitter, but when you hit for contact as well as Shane Sasaki does, eventually you'll find a couple of balls that you square up and hit a long way, and that was certainly in that category. Second home run given up by Swanson tonight. And it's been a bit of a pattern for Swanson over the month of August.
Now it's Carson Williams, and a shoulder-high fastball starts him out. So all three of the Charleston runs tonight coming way of the long ball. Here comes the 1-0 to Williams. It is high again. Two balls and no strikes. And
despite Charleston being the top team in average and slugging percentage, they're about middle of the road as far as home runs, now 93 on the season, fifth in the Carolina League.
Yeah, that's compared to 103 this year for Fayetteville. That's the second most in the league. Woodpeckers don't have the lofty record of some of the top teams, Charleston, Myrtle Beach, but they've hit a lot of home runs this year, and that's led to some loud cheers at Segra Stadium for what that's worth. Here's the 3-0, and that one is hit hard. Out to center, Whitaker sprinting back. He's onto the warning track. It is off of the batter's eye. Deep center field for Carson Williams. A solo home run. The River Dogs have gone back-to-back. Sasaki and Williams leave the yard to make it 4-1 River Dogs.
Well, they heard us talking about how they haven't hit a whole lot of home runs this season, and man, that's one of the deeper blasts we've seen by an opposing player this season at Segra Stadium. Off the batter's eye, Jacob Melton hit one off of there a couple weeks ago against Down East, and Carson Williams just squares one up. Third home run given up, and that's the second time in about a week span that Fayetteville Woodpeckers arms given up three home runs. Alex Santos also gave up a trio of home runs in Zebulon last week, and John Cavallo going out there to try to calm them down a little bit. A couple of pitches that he just simply missed his location on.
Home run number 17 of the year for Carson Williams. That's a team high for the River Dogs. So John going out there to try and calm down Swanson a bit. It was the curveball that Sasaki got. I think it was a fastball to Williams. It's hard to hit a breaking ball out to dead center here at Segra. We haven't seen anybody clear the batter's eye yet this year. But at least directly over the top of it, you may be able to argue that there's been some home runs hit to the left, right of it that might have cleared it. That Carson Williams home run hit about as high up on the batter's eyes I think we've seen all season. This ball is grounded left side and foul past Blake Butera. It only missed clear in the batter's eye, which elevates the center field wall to close to 30 feet or so by maybe a foot or two.
And a lot of new baseball fans always ask about why is there a black screen or a dark green screen behind the fence? And really, for any of those, you know, just tuning into the broadcast for the first time, not really sure.
Fly ball out to medium right. Espinoza a couple of steps in. He makes the catch. There's one away.
But the whole point of it is that the white baseball coming out of the pitcher's hand, the release point usually is just above that wall out in center field from a hitter's perspective. So if you got anything behind there that's a little bit lighter, it's really tough to pick it up. So it kind of balances out the advantage the pitcher has releasing the ball and throwing it, you know, 90 miles an hour. At least you can still see when it's being released because there's not a white background behind there.
Junior Caminero takes strike one. So you're saying a big white wall in center would be advantage pitcher.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me. Here's the 0-1. And a bouncing ball, third base side. That's foul.
Yeah, just ask all the people in like MLB The Show when they create a ballpark and put a bunch of white billboards behind there to try to throw people off. And even on bright days, too, with the batter's eye, it can be tough to pick things up just with the glare coming off of those big walls in center field.
The 0-2 gets Caminero swinging. He chased a slider down low. And there's two gone for Nick Swanson. Good bounce back after the back-to-back home run. It's 4-1 Charleston. Two-run home run from Shane Sasaki to left. And a solo home run by Carson Williams to dead center. Here comes Kenny Piper, the five-hitter and catcher, who's 0-2. A ground out to the pitcher and also a fly out to center. First pitch fastball pumped in for strike one.
Yeah, Woodpeckers are giving up a lot of grand slams this year, but this is only the second time that an opponent's gone back-to-back against the Fayetteville arm this year. It was back on June 26th. The Augusta Green Jackets went back-to-back on Shea Berry, Mekhi Backstrom, and Connor Blair. That was a blowout loss for the Woodpeckers here at Segra Stadium.
And there's a pitch that looked like it was strike three, but just missed outside. 81-mile-per-hour changeup, 1-2. Yeah, Charleston hasn't gone back-to-back until tonight, but they do have a grand slam in the head-to-head series. That was Abizale Williams in Charleston on May 8th. Another pitch that's borderline, but it goes the way of Kenny Piper, and the count is even 2-2. Swanson at 80 pitches. Here comes his 2-2 pitch and a fly ball out to center again. Whitaker going back on it. He gets to the wall and it's off the base of the fence. Whitaker scuffling with it out on the warning track. Piper hustling to third. No cutoff throw and he slides in with a two-out triple. Another deep fly ball sending Whitaker sprinting back. Looked like it had home run distance off of the bat, but just died in front of the high wall, and for Nick Swanson, it'll spell an end to his evening.
And an unfortunate end to the outing for Swanson, who's looking really strong in that fourth inning, but this Charleston lineup, man, you get to the second, third time through the order, and they adjust in a big way, and they did just that against Swanson.
Swanson out, new arm in. We'll tell you about the new Fayetteville reliever when we come back. It's 4-1 River Dogs with a man on third and two outs in the top of the fifth.
Not these times.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 43, Austin Temple.
New arm into the game for Fayetteville behind Nick Swanson. Man at third, two outs. It's Kenny Piper down at third base. Right-hander Austin Temple is on the mound. The former Notre Dame ball player misses down and inside on the first one to O'Neill Mansueta. And it is 1-0. Temple making his full season debut tonight, his Woodpeckers debut. And here's the 1-0 pitch. Mansueta takes away. Non-drafted free agent this year out of Notre Dame, signed quickly with Houston after the 20-round draft. Temple, a Palm City, Florida native, stands 6'4", 180 pounds out there on the mound. And his pitch is hit out to right. Deep fly ball for Espinoza, trailing back. He's onto the warning track, gets to the wall. It is out of here. The third home run of the inning for the River Dogs. A two-run home run by O'Neill Mansueta. And the lead grows to 6-1. Mansueta hits his eighth of the year. Drives in runs number 43 and 44. And the power on display in this fifth inning. First batter in Austin Temple's Woodpecker career takes him deep.
It's almost like Espinoza thought that ball was going to be in front of him, then quickly realized it was fading away from him and back towards the wall, and eventually just enough to get it over that fence. Only 325 down the right field line here at Segra.
And now a fly to center, which should end the inning. Whitaker coming forward on it. He makes a strolling grab. Long inning comes to a close. A total of five runs cross for Charleston. Four to Nick Swanson, one to Temple on three home runs from Mansueta, Williams, and Sasaki. We go to the bottom of the fifth. Fayetteville now down 6-1.
It's time for the Smithfield Sizzle Cam. Take a look at the video board and start sizzling. For the River Dogs, J.J. Goss. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 44, Garrett McGowan.
Bottom five, Garrett McGowan leading off against J.J. Goss. The Charleston starter is comfortably in front now. 6-1 the score on three home runs and a five-run top of the fifth for the River Dogs. McGowan in a 1-0 count. Next pitch, he hits this one deep center field. Sasaki going back on it, and with room in front of the warning track, makes the catch. That fly ball looked good off the bat of McGowan. Powerful, strong left-handed hitter. Puts the ball in an air like that, you always think it has a chance, but here McGowan continues to look for his first Woodpeckers home run. Made a mention of it before the game. He probably feels comfortable in the threads tonight. He's wearing the black, the red, and the yellow. That was his school colors at Pittsburgh State, playing for the Gorillas. Now it's John Garcia. He's making his debut tonight. And the first pitch to him is a strike on the high outside corner. Change up by Goss. John Garcia had the first pitch he saw come in and hit him back in the second inning. Got him right on the left-hand area. And he fouls that one off the inside of his left foot. Beating himself up tonight, along with doing the catching.
And these aren't the first jerseys this weekend we'll see, Chappie. A lot of great custom-type jerseys that the Woodpeckers will be sporting throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple tomorrow. And again, those all the jerseys this week are available for bid online. At Legends of the Hidden Temple, and then on Sunday, it's Paw Patrol. Here's the 0-2, and a swing and a miss by Garcia. He strikes out, and there's two quick ones in the home fifth inning. I'm told Paw Patrol is a popular kid show these days.
Heard of it, never definitely past our time, I think, growing up.
We're going to learn more by Sunday, I'll tell you that much.
I was raised on, Dora the Explorer,
oh, yeah.
Blue's Clues.
Teletubbies.
Yeah.
Pitch down to the dirt. Swing and a miss by Molina. Am I dating myself by bringing up Teletubbies? Is that
no,
is
no?
Is that a 90s thing? It's
yeah.
90s night tonight.
I think you're right. I think it is.
J.J. Goss looking in. Molina, a fly out to right in this one. He swings and pops it up right side. Perry going out from first. This ball is in a tough spot. Perry is sliding over the shoulder grab, and he makes a great catch. Nate Perry, been a highlight show tonight. The home run, and now one of the great catches we've seen by a first baseman this year at Segra Stadium. Sliding over the shoulder bucket grab, and he takes a flare base hit away from Leo Standing Molina. The Woodpeckers go down quietly. We go to the sixth. It's 6-1 River Dogs.
Directly inside the main gates. Balls are one for $1 or six for $5. Buy your launch of balls now.
Untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a to your chest. Like a vest for your in the city of we in that sunshine state where the bomb be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and be. On a mission for them lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me diamond shining. Looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 48, Peyton Plumlee.
I'm bleeding. Go long, go. These bullets, he receive it. I can't see it. My wrist look like a snow cone, make her eat it. Once I see her, I give her that dough just like it beat her. Then I leave her. I can't get
leading off the top of the sixth inning for the River Dogs. The left fielder, number one, Diver Castellanos.
Top six, and the Woodpeckers trail the River Dogs 6-1. Three home runs and a big five-run fifth, jumping them in front big. Now Diver Castellanos leads off against a new Fayetteville arm. It is right-hander Peyton Plumlee. And before he throws his first pitch, a pitch clock violation is assessed on the countdown during the in-between inning clock. And the first pitch coming home is just inside. It is fantastic to see Peyton Plumlee back out there in a Woodpeckers uniform on the mound at Segra Stadium for the first time since July 11th of 2021. Been over a year recovering from Tommy John surgeries. This ball is bounced down towards shallow second base. Molina charging, fields underhand, flips, and gets the out of Diver Castellanos. So there's one gone, and now Alejandro Pie coming up. Peyton was off to a good start last year and was pitching himself towards a promotion to high A, but then, of course, the elbow issues arose. Ended his 2021 season prematurely. He went on the injured list with Tommy John, and now he returns as a 25-year-old. And no doubt that velocity is there for Peyton. 97 flashing on the video board. I can tell you right now, he wasn't throwing 97 when he was with the Woodpeckers in 2021. And he had made a mention earlier this week that his velocity has gone up significantly since the surgery. Pitch missed a little bit low, and it's one ball and one strike on Alejandro Pie. It was 1-for-2, the strikeout, a single, and a run. Plumlee working exclusively out of the stretch, and here comes the pitch. It is a breaking ball right over the middle, 1-2.
And if you're Plumlee, you look at some of the other guys that have come back from injury for Fayetteville this year, and there's been a lot of success stories of guys that are coming off a long stay on the shelf.
1-2 pitch is just outside, very close though. Borderline fastball, and hometown crowd didn't like it. 2-2 on PA.
Yep. Names come to mind, Ryan Gusto, Christian Mejias. Mm-hmm. How about Colton Gordon, his debut last night for the Asheville Tourists?
Here's a ground ball towards the middle. Molina moving right. He backhands, throws to first, and McGowan can't handle it. A rare drop by Garrett McGowan. Great play by Molina to get to his right, throw off balance. That's a shortstop playing second base, showing off the glove work. But PA makes it aboard. See how they score that one. It may go down as a single.
I think it already is. It has been ruled a single. And I think Garrett McGowan's hoping so. Remember, he didn't commit a single error his 2022 spring season at Pittsburgh State. 385 opportunities, not a single blemish on his mark or on his card. And I think that's going to be a hit. That was a tough play for Molina to begin with.
Shane Sasaki takes a first pitch slider. Garcia couldn't squeeze it, but got the call anyways. And it's 0-1 on Sasaki. He started the home run brigade in the fifth. Two-run home run. And then Carson Williams went deep right after him. He stands on deck. Big hole on the right side against the right-handed batter. And the pitch is down to the dirt. It's one ball and one strike on Sasaki.
Back to what I was saying before, though, on Colton Gordon. Made his debut with the Tourists last night against Winston-Salem. Five innings, gave up three runs, but struck out eight batters.
Not surprised with how well he pitched to the Woodpeckers over a few games. After Plumlee goes to the rosin bag, his 1-1 pitch gets Sasaki swinging. A 96-mile-per-hour fastball blazing right by him. 1-2. Peyton is a 31st-round pick going back to the 40-round draft in 2019. The Astros grabbed him out of a top SEC program, the Mississippi State Bulldogs. A Mississippi State kid that got to fulfill the dream of playing for one of the top Division I programs in his home state. He grew up in Olive Branch, Mississippi. He sets and delivers the 1-2. A swing and a fly ball foul off to the right side. We had the chance to catch up with Peyton in the offseason, midway through his rehab process. We had him on a podcast episode, and it was funny. He was enjoying deer season. He had just gotten off a hunting trip, and we got him in the driver's seat of his car, parked, of course, but he was talking to us about the rehab process as the pitch comes in, misses outside, throws down to first.
A lot of outdoorsmen on this Woodpeckers team. I'm sure him and Jacob Melton would get along just fine.
Sure. I haven't gotten the chance to reconnect, though, with him and ask how deer season went. Peyton Plumlee looking in. PA off of first. And the 2-2. Swinging a shallow fly ball out to right. Espinoza coming in. Out is Molina. It's over his reach. Drops to the grass. Throw coming into second. PA dives in time. He's safe. Held his run. Good base running by PA in case that ball was caught. Looked like Espinoza was going to have a chance at it coming in, but it ended up being Molina, the second baseman, that was closer to it. Split the two fielders, and Sasaki has himself a 2-for-3 game. Now a single, and there's two on against Plumlee with one out, and Carson Williams coming up.
They actually did end up giving McGowan a fielding error on that throw, so an E3 on Garrett McGowan is first in his professional career, and as you mentioned, Sasaki getting awarded the single there. He's now on for the third time.
All right, for scoring along with us. A little scribble out in the book there, and now on to Carson Williams. Hit his 17th home run of the season, his last time up in the fifth against Swanson. High off of the center field batter's eye. Team high 17th long ball. First one was low to Peyton. A low from Peyton, that is. One ball, no strike count. Now the set and 15th pitch from Plumlee is a strike on the high outside corner. 1-1. You know, and Peyton and Shea Berry are good buddies. They became friends on the roster last year, and they suffer their injuries right around the same time. Peyton the elbow, Shea Berry the shoulder surgery. So those guys went through rehab together and really helped support each other along that road. Here's the pitch home, and a fastball strike at 97. 1-2.
If you're a pitcher in minor league baseball, you know at some point or another you're going to have some sort of injury, the repetitive motion of your right or left arm in some cases, and there's always there someone there with you that knows the pain of a recovery that you're going through.
And the pitch is framed at the bottom of the strike zone. It just missed a little low at 96, and it's two balls and two strikes on Williams. Mentioned that final game for Plumlee on the mound here at Segra Stadium in July. That was against the Down East Wood Ducks on a day where he completed four innings, pitches inside. He gave up six hits, four earned runs. It wasn't one of those instances where you sometimes see something goes wrong with the elbow mid-outing. Trainer comes out, takes you off the field. Peyton finished his day, and then afterward was examined and ended up going on the injured list. Three ball, two strike pitch, and a swing and a miss by Williams. He got him. First, second strikeout, that is, for Carson Williams. First K for Plumlee. And now he's in the driver's seat. Two away, runners at first and second. 6-1 River Dogs. And Ryan Spike, the three hitter, is coming up.
Looks like he's locating the fastball well, still trying to get a feel for the off-speed, but you talked about the velocity before. That coupled with his ability to keep it on the outer part of the plate to these dangerous River Dog hitters, very promising sign for Peyton.
So here comes the pitch, and it's foul tipped into the mitt. Plumlee working off of the fastball. His best stretch for Fayetteville last year was when he first showed up to town. That was May 13th when he debuted here at Segra Stadium against Kannapolis in 2021. And over the course of his first four games, he went 14 innings and gave up just one earned run. The 0-1 gets a swing and a miss, a slider, 80 miles an hour. This is about 15 miles per hour worth of difference there between the fastball and the breaking ball. Peyton Plumlee trying for a scoreless sixth and keep this at a five-run game. Bottom six, it'll be Espinoza, Sacco, and Clifford scheduled to bat. Here comes Plumlee's 0-2 with the runners on the move. The pitch is outside. Throw going down to second, and it gets into center field. PA gets to his feet at third. He's hustling to the plate. Here comes Whitaker's throw. It's nowhere near in time, and a run scores on a throwing error. It was a delayed double steal. Runners weren't going on first motion from Plumlee. It was almost like they were baiting a throw down. Garcia went the long way to second. And it didn't look like the middle infield was ready for it. Nobody was really near the bag. I believe it was Molina's glove that it got under. And as a result of the errant throw, it's 7-1 Charleston.
Yeah, just kind of a miscommunication. I don't think Molina thought that ball was ever going to come out from Garcia. Garcia hesitated a fraction of a second. That left a little doubt in Molina's mind, and he ended up getting to that bag late.
The pitch is high and away on spikes, a 2-ball, 2-strike count. An unearned run for Plumlee. Infield, outfield, straight up. Spikes deny 1-for-3. A single against Nick Swanson back in the third. Plumlee's pitch is bounced out towards short. Two high hops for Lofton. He shuffles left, collects, throws to first. The throw pulls McGowan into the baseline, but he applies the tag on Spikes crossing the bag. Great adjustment by McGowan after the missed catch error earlier in the inning. A throwing error. Two errors in that sixth bring home a run, and Charleston leads it now 7-1 as we go bottom six.
Take it away, DP.
I'm here with Caitlin. There, it works. I'm here with Caitlin all the way from Methodist University. Say hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
All right, it's time to guess that theme from the 90s. Are you ready? You're going to listen, and you're going to guess the theme. All right, here we go.
Bel-Air.
What is it?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Is it the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Yes, it is. 1-for-1. Next.
Why'd you have to bring this up anyway?
What say you?
One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill. Oh, Dawson's Creek. It's okay. You got one more. You got one more. Here we go.
Boy Meets World.
She's going with Boy Meets World. Is she correct? Yes! Good job, Caitlin. Give me a go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
Back on the mound for the River Dogs, J.J. Goss.
Father God, Father, I just want a little life. Lamborghini loud pipes.
Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, the power hitter of the game, number 39, Rolando Espinosa.
J.J. Goss back out on the mound. He's trying for a quality start tonight as he comes home and delivers a first pitch strike to Rolando Espinosa. The River Dogs now have a 7-1 lead on the throwing error from Garcia, the catcher that got into center field, allowed PA to score from third. That was on a double steal attempt. Espinosa cuts through at 93. So just an unearned run to Peyton Plumlee. His debut expected to continue into the seventh. Well, actually, maybe not. There is some bullpen activity out there for Fayetteville. Here comes the 0-2. Espinosa grounds it right side, out towards second. Spikes moving to his left. He collects with two hands, throws to first, gets the out. So there's one away. Woodpeckers have not had a base runner in a while. They have not had one since Rolando Espinosa singled in the third inning. And that ground out makes it 9 in a row retired by J.J. Goss. He has set down the entire Fayetteville order in order the second time through. Now he faces Tommy Sacco, and a breaking ball misses below the zone. A very efficient night in the pitch count department as well for Goss. Only 52 throws so far. Over 5 1/3 total innings. Sacco, the switch hitter from the left side, swings at the 1-0 and bounces it foul right side. 1-1 count.
And Goss was a 2019 selection. He was in the competitive balance round, the second round pick for the Rays. And that's for the 10 lowest revenue clubs in Major League Baseball that get that extra pick there to make up for the big spenders or so in the majors. So could end up being a big-time steal, though, for Tampa.
Here's the 2-1, and it is a foul tip to get a piece of the home plate umpire. 2-2. Goss pitched against the Woodpeckers back on May 6th and was not nearly as efficient. He went three innings, gave up two earned runs, four hits. He was limited a pitch count-wise to 49 pitches. They've begun to stretch him out a little bit more at this point in the year. But still, the Woodpeckers got a little bit more against him offensively back in May. Tonight they have just the one run on two base hits. Tommy Sacco has one of them, a double that started at the bottom of the first inning. He came around to score the only run two batters later on a ground out from Jacob Melton. Goss winds and throws 2-2, and he strikes out Tommy Sacco swinging. Seven strikeouts now for J.J. Goss. He has not walked a batter. He's just hit a batter. He hit John Garcia on the hand back in the second. He's only allowed three base runners all night on the hit-by-pitch and the two hits. With two away in the bottom of the sixth inning, Ryan Clifford coming up. River Dogs lead 7-1. First pitch to the lefty Clifford. Nubbed off the end of the bat, a foul ball.
I just see some stretching right now for Charleston. So there's a decent opportunity. We could see him go into a seventh inning.
Right-hander Ronnie Garcia is the pitcher out there in the bullpen for the Woodpeckers. Here comes the 0-1. Clifford late swinging at a fastball, and it's 0-2. Garcia served as a bridge pitcher in the middle innings on Wednesday night in that shutout. He pitched behind Carlos Calderon, got the final out of the fifth inning. The 0-2, and Clifford pops this one up back towards our booth, and it is onto the concourse.
A couple of fans playing hot potato with that ball as it was pinballing around.
We're ready for the next one that comes our way up here. And now the 0-2. Swing and a miss by Clifford. That one down in the dirt. And the inning is over. The Woodpeckers go down quietly again. The third straight 1-2-3 inning for J.J. Goss. Now a quality start on the road. We go to the seventh for the Woodpeckers trailing 7-1.
Woman of the heartbreak, I don't
kiss care.
No, I don't want to learn the hard way, baby. Hello, oh no, goodbye. But you got
kiss care,
shooting straight across the sky.
Kiss care,
the way you love me, it's a
kiss care,
it's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss.
Kiss care,
that pivotal moment.
Kiss
Cam. Kiss. Unstoppable. This kiss.
Kiss Cam.
Kiss. Cinderella says,
kiss Cam.
How does love get so off course? Oh,
kiss Cam.
At night with a good heart, soft touch, fast horse.
Kiss Cam.
The sunset, baby, I'm forever yours. It's the way.
Kiss Cam.
It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's
kiss cam.
Unthinkable. This kiss. This kiss.
Kiss cam.
Unthinkable. This kiss. This kiss. You can kiss me in the moonlight on the rooftop under the sky.
Fans, it's time for the Budweiser Zero last call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Leading off the top of the
Ronnie Garcia warming in the bullpen. Peyton Plumlee will continue his night. He's back out for the top of the seventh inning. Junior Caminero leads it off. The cleanup hitter is at the plate. And the right-handed hitter, Colin Casey, is now on the play-by-play. I think you're a righty, right?
Yep, yeah, you got it. That's right. Fine. Not a great one, though. I was more of a pitcher towards the end of my baseball career. Junior Caminero, outside corner, called a strike. Let's just say I didn't make it past JV. Actually, didn't even make it to JV. I got cut after freshman year. No. A wave and a miss. Caminero down 0-2. He's 1-for-3 with a single and a stolen base so far.
You can still talk baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's why you're here now.
This will be pitch number 27 for Peyton Plumlee. Here it is, fastball, called strike three. Still popping it at 95 miles an hour. Second time in as many ABs that Common Arrow has gone down on strikes. Plumlee has retired three in a row and has the first out of the seventh. And right now the River Dogs trying to maintain their lead over the Columbia Fireflies and start talking magic number as we get closer and closer to the conclusion of the 2022 regular season. 1-0 count on Kenny Piper. Come into tonight 3.5 games ahead of the Columbia Fireflies, who currently trail 3-1 to the visiting Salem Red Sox. Fly ball, shallow right field. Second baseman Molina all the way back, calling off Espinoza, makes the grab. And Plumlee quickly has two away. So the score holds tonight. Could be an extra game picked up for the River Dogs. And out to the mound goes manager Joe Thon. And looks like Peyton Plumlee has hit his pitch limit. And Thon will make a move to the bullpen. But still a great return, and good to see Peyton Plumlee back on the mound. Retired the last four batters he faced. And he departs with two outs in the top of the seventh. New arm coming in. It's right-hander Ronnie Garcia. And we'll tell you about him when we come back on the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 36, Ronnie Garcia.
Right-hander Ronnie Garcia enters the game with two away in the top of the seventh inning. Fayetteville trailing by a score of 7-1, and Garcia misses with a breaking ball to O'Neill Mansueta, 1-0. It has been a very impressive year for Garcia, specifically in Fayetteville. Two separate stints. He's in the second one currently. 12 and two-thirds innings pitched and 0.71 earned run average over seven games. Just four hits allowed and one earned run. 11 strikeouts compared to six walks. There's a line drive stung towards the right center field gap. A leaping catch made by Espinoza. Garcia tips his cap to his fellow teammate. Heads off the field and quickly got the final out of the seventh inning. We head to the stretch. Charleston 7, Fayetteville 1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Stretch. Stand up and join us in singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Sing a little louder. So it's past.
Packers. Say it loud. At the old. Atta boy, Packers. Atta boy.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing full effect. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down. Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Yo, situation is serious. Let's kill it cause we're running out of time. It's all so beautiful. Relationships they seem from the start. It's all so deadly. When love is not together from the heart.
This River Dogs pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the River Dogs, number 23, Sean Harney. Leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 31, Jacob Mills.
Part of the order for Fayetteville as they try to erase a 7-1 deficit they find themselves in. Jacob Melton, the batter, takes ball one from new arm on the mound for Charleston. Right-hander Sean Harney taking over after six innings of one-run ball from J.J. Goss. Just a pair of hits allowed by Goss. Did not walk any batters. Did hit one batter. That was John Garcia in the second and struck out eight. Harney falls behind 2-0 on Melton, who is 0-2 on the night with an RBI. Green light, swings and misses. Harney was taken in the eighth round of the 2022 draft out of the University of Kentucky. Spent two seasons in the SEC with the Wildcats. 2-1 is fouled straight back. Prior to the 2021 season, Harney spent 3 years at the University of Massachusetts. Out in Amherst.
Harney out of Kentucky in the eighth round, and Tyler Guilfoyle, Fayetteville Woodpecker, out of Kentucky in the eighth round.
Right.
Two Kentucky ball players went right next to each other.
Harney's 2-2. That is fouled back and out of play. Seven runs on nine hits, no errors. For the River Dogs, trying to make it back-to-back victories, and 3 of 4 to start the series. Just a run on two hits, no errors, or two errors, pardon me, for the Woodpeckers. Swing and a miss, and Melton strikes out. That is three straight strikeouts now for River Dogs pitching, and Harney, an impressive beginning to his outing. Sean Harney, in his final year with Kentucky, went 5-4 with a 2.62 ERA over 65 and a third innings pitched, 16 appearances. First pitch to Whitaker, misses just inside. Spent some time as a starter and also as a reliever. Had six starts, but also six saves. First Wildcat in school history to accomplish that feat. Called a strike 1-1 on Whitaker. Seen some guys at the major league level start as a starting pitcher, then move to the bullpen or vice versa. Whitaker watches a ball in the dirt. A couple that come to mind are actually a couple of former Braves as well as former Red Sox. Derek Lowe was a starting pitcher and then ended up being a reliever for the Braves when he was moved over there after his time in Boston. I believe he led the league in saves at one point, as there's a line drive into center, and Whitaker has himself a one-out single. don't know if he was a saves leader in the NL, but I believe he might have been an all-star as a closer with Atlanta. And another guy that comes to mind is John Schmoltz, who did the opposite. Started as a closer and ended up becoming one of the best starting pitchers that Atlanta's ever seen. Baseball Hall of Famer. So Whitaker is aboard. That ends a 12-in-a-row streak retired by Charleston pitching. Jackson Lofton takes ball one from Harney. Lofton so far 0 for 2, the strikeout as well as a ground out. On pause by Harney, the pitch. Fastball outside corner. Harney added to the roster just 9 days ago. This is his second appearance. Pitched 2 2/3 prior to tonight. Goes with the breaking ball and Lofton fouls it back. Both those games against Augusta on the road on the 19th, won an inning in a third. Gave up one run on one hit, one walk, no strikeouts, and a lot better though his second time on the 21st. No runs, or one run allowed, it was unearned. No walks, no hits, three strikeouts for the former Wildcat and Minuteman. Here's the 1-2. Soared over the head of Lofton, who takes a deep breath and sigh of relief that it didn't catch him. Meanwhile, Whitaker advances 90 feet on the wild pitch. Radar gun showing that ball was 34 miles an hour, and maybe
I think it caught it on the way up.
Yeah, maybe
ricocheting off the backstop.
Maybe 34 miles per second. Two balls, two strikes to Lofton. Runner in scoring position now, and he hits it on the ground to third. Bobbled though by PA, and Lofton will beat it out at first base. No throw. And that'll almost certainly be an E5. First base was open. Staying at second is Whitaker. Two on, one away now for Fayetteville. And Garrett McGowan will be the batter.
Well, this turns into a big spot here, Colin. Charleston doesn't give you too many opportunities. Yesterday they did with all those walks. They've completely eliminated them today. So now a fielding error on a series where they've been nearly perfect on the defensive end. First time tonight, you put multiple base runners on. You get a couple runs here. You may feel like you're back in it over the eighth and ninth inning, where the Woodpeckers have been a good come-from-behind team this year.
First pitch to McGowan, a check swing, and he fouls it to the left. McGowan put a charge into one in his last at-bat in the fifth inning against J.J. Goss. Hit it pretty well out towards center field, but Shane Sasaki able to run it down. Still looking for that first home run in a Woodpeckers uniform. Check swing. No appeal, and he did hold up. Charleston would secure, at the very least, a series split if they're able to hold on for the victory tonight. And the Woodpeckers have won only one series at home all season long, and that was back in June against the Fredericksburg Nationals. Popped up third base side, infield fly rule in effect. Caught anyways by PA, so a little bit of redemption for him at third base after the error on the ball hit by Lofton, and a big out number two for Harney. Two on, two down for John Garcia, making his debut tonight for the Woodpeckers. Was hit by a pitch in his first ever plate appearance back in the second inning, then struck out swinging in the fifth. Harney with the first pitch. Garcia takes a called strike. Garcia going to school in New York City, attending George Washington Educational Campus. Growing up in the Bronx. Fastball outside, and talk about some famous alum coming from George Washington. Only Baseball Hall of Famer Rod Carew and 2004 World Series MVP Manny Ramirez.
Wow.
500 home run club member. one of the best pure hitters the game has ever seen. 1-1, foul back. Crazy to think of a school where Manny Ramirez attended, and yet he's the second most successful as far as baseball history goes. Although it really is a toss-up. Of course, the PED situation, a big reason why Ramirez was left off the Hall of Fame ballot. Peru, of course, inducted 3,000 hits for Rod. Bit of a toss-up between those two resumes, as there's a called third strike. Garcia down on strikes for the second time. Second strikeout for Harney, and he leaves a couple of runners on base and holds the Woodpeckers off the board, who have not scored since the first inning. On to the eighth, 7-1 Charleston from Segra Stadium.
2 minutes of tonight's game. Double play Doug has our contestant on the dugout. Take it away, DP.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with Kayla. She wears two hats. She is an assistant softball coach at Methodist University. I think she's got a cheering section over there. There they are. She is also a middle school educator at Mack Williams. Give her a hand for being a teacher in Cumberland County. That's right. Kayla, your job tonight, it's an easy one. All you gotta do is tell me how many people are here. And here are your choices. 5,501, 5,107, or 5,458. Your choice is
B.
Kayla's going with B. Is she correct? It's A, 5,501. That's okay, Kayla. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers!
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I missed the one in the second inning.
My Maria, don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away. Sweet Maria, the sunlight surely hurts my eyes.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Ronnie Garcia.
When they opened up that gate, welcome to the show.
Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the River Dogs, the first baseman, number 28, Nathan Terry.
On to the eighth from Segra Stadium on this Friday night in downtown Fayetteville. Ronnie Garcia back out on the mound. First pitch outside, and back on the play-by-play, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Charleston close to guaranteeing a split in this series. With a win tonight, they'll be winners of three of the first four. Perry takes a backdoor breaking ball for a strike, and it's 1-1. Dyware Castellanos next, and then Alejandro Pie, the pitch. High. 2-1. Ronnie Garcia came on in the seventh behind Peyton Plumlee. He reached his pitch limit. Scheduled to go about 30 tonight. He threw 29, so they didn't allow him to face Manzueta. Ronnie Garcia got him to line out. Now gets to start a clean frame as Perry takes low. And it's three balls and a strike. Nate has returned to Fayetteville and hit a home run tonight. He hit one all the way out towards the right field train tracks, which we've seen a time or two. That was in the second. And he takes low. That's a ball. Now it's a three ball count. Or is that ball four? That was ball four. Yeah,
you're
it was
right.
A video board. We had it at 3-1. And Nate Perry thought that was a three ball count, so he heads down to first. You know, cool story last year with Nate. We were on the road in Salem, Virginia. Nate grew up in a town not too far outside of Salem, Spencer, Virginia. And during one of those weekend games, he had a whole section above the Woodpeckers visiting dugout packed with friends and family members that came out to watch him play. As this ground ball is hit to the right side underneath McGowan, it's backed up by Molina. He underhand flips to Ronnie Garcia, hustling over, and they connect to get the out. Great play. Leo's Danny Molina backing up his first baseman, waited for Garcia to get to the bag and let him just in time to beat out Daiwer Castellanos, hustle into first. And there is one gone. Nate Perry makes it down to second base on the 4-1 put out. But in that game, it was the perfect script in front of friends and family. Nate hit two home runs out of Salem Memorial Ballpark, a couple of no-down homers to right field. And we interviewed him after the game the next day, and he said that was by far one of the coolest moments in his baseball career. Amateur, high school, professional, had the whole stand standing for him.
That's always great whenever a ball player gets to play in front of his hometown crowd.
Here's the 2-0 pitch and a broken bat pop fly over to first. McGowan sprinting over as well as Garcia, but that ball drops. And Alejandro Pie tosses aside that black bat, and he'll get himself a new stick in a 2-ball, 1-strike count.
You think of some of the major league talents that were lucky enough to play in front of their hometown crowd. Barry Larkin's one comes to mind, born and raised in Cincinnati and spent his whole career with the Reds. Mm-hmm. Ken Griffey Jr. eventually making it back home to Cincinnati to play a bulk of his career as well. Derek Jeter growing up in New York and becoming the captain, 3,000 hits in a Yankee uniform.
A couple of Houston natives on the Woodpeckers. Hope that dream can be realized as well. Brian Salgado and Jackson Lofton both grew up loving Houston Astros baseball. Alejandro Pie with a new bat in hand, swings and misses, and it's now 2-2.
Can't believe I missed also Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, sure, yeah, Baltimore. Perry off of second, a 7-1 Charleston lead. They're out hitting Fayetteville 9-3 tonight. And the 2-2. Down and away, good block by Garcia, almost stumbled over, but keeps the ball in front of him. Carolina and Kannapolis out at Atrium Health Ballpark tonight are in the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Mudcats have a 4-1 lead over the Cannonballers. Here's the pitch, and a swing and a miss. Got him on an off-speed. Ronnie Garcia with his first strikeout. He has two outs in the eighth. And Shane Sasaki will now hit. For Carolina tonight, really quick call in there, Luis Castillo with a four-hit game. He's 4-for-4 tonight with an RBI and a 2-run scored. He's been the big part of the Carolina offense. And now it's Sasaki taking a changeup over the middle. It's 0-1.
He had a four-hit game last night here in Fayetteville with Julio Meza getting tonight off, but four hits, three extra base hits.
Next pitch is low. Myrtle Beach and Augusta are in a close 1-7. The Green Jackets lead 4-3 over the Pelicans, even though Myrtle Beach has out-hit them 10-6. Here's the pitch home, and a pop fly gets out of play. Augusta Green Jackets had Owen Murphy on the mound tonight. He was the first-round draft selection by the Braves this year, the 20th overall pick. And in that game, he was a little bit limited, went 2-2/3, gave up a run, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts before turning the game over to the bullpen. Sasaki in a 1-2. Here's the pitch, and he fouls it back into the net. Count stays where it is. Lynchburg and Delmarva. They're up on the Delmarva Peninsula tonight. Low scoring, but close. 2-1, Hillcats through 8 innings. Jackson Holliday, the number 1 overall draft pick, who doubled in his debut yesterday, is 0-for-4 tonight with a pair of strikeouts. Garcia set another 1-2 pitch, and this is chopped left side towards short. Lofton fields deep in the hole. Long throw to first in time. McGowan brings it in with a stretch. And the inning is over. Nate Perry leads off with a walk but gets stranded on. And we will go to the bottom of the eighth inning with the Woodpeckers still down big. It is 7-1, River Dogs.
Oh, you found him.
Fans, at this time, we'd like to recognize our Methodist University hometown hero.
Corporal Bert Edwards is from Spring Hope, North Carolina. He enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1991 and served as an infantryman for... Fans, let's hear it for tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Corporal Bert Edwards. Thank you for your service. On the mound for the River Dogs, Sean Harney.
The leadoff man for Fayetteville in the bottom of the eighth inning is Leo Stanny Molina. He steps into the right side, and the first pitch bounced over the mound towards second base, fielded near the bag by Spikes, and he flips over to first base to get Leo Stanny Molina. And now it'll bring up Rolando Espinoza. 7-1 to score. The Woodpeckers down to their final five outs tonight. They've lost 12 of their last 13 games, now in danger of dropping 13 of 14. No doubt been a tough second half for Fayetteville. Came in tonight with a 17-34 second half record. Twice as many losses as wins. But hoping to try and grab at least a couple this week against Charleston. They already have one with a 3-0 shutout on Wednesday. Here comes the 1-0 pitch, and Espinoza swings and misses. If the Woodpeckers can manage to grab one more win by weekend's end, it'll be the most wins in a six-game series against these River Dogs in the all-time series. Got just one on the road earlier this year, got swept in Charleston last year, so... One more win this week would be progress. Line drive, shot to first, in and out of the glove of Nate Perry. He scuffles with the ball, gets the throw off, but it goes all the way to the on-deck circle. Espinoza doesn't go to second. Catcher Piper backed up the play. And Nate Perry did a good job of knocking that ball down. What was a searing liner ticketed for right field. But had trouble picking it cleanly and then didn't really have a lot of help hustling over to assist him. He was way off of that line. He wasn't going to be able to take it over himself. And Sean Harney was just a little late getting over there.
I like what I've been seeing, though, from Espinoza at the plate. Put the ball in play all three times. A couple of hard hit balls as well. And it's been rewarded reaching base a couple of times.
So the switch hitter, Tommy Sacco, up for a fourth time. The Fayetteville leadoff hitter. And the pitch is low to him. One run on just three base hits tonight for the Woodpeckers. One of them, the double by Sacco that led off the bottom of the first against J.J. Goss, the starter. He delivered a quality start tonight. 1-0. Sacco pops it over our heads in the booth, and the count is 1-1. Harney, a belt tie set, and the pitch is short in the dirt, blocked by Piper, and he's able to keep the runner down at first base. We were working around the Carolina League with some scores. A lot of close games tonight. We're 7-1 here, but it's 3-1 in Columbia, South Carolina. Firefly is scratching and clawing to try and keep pace with the Charleston River Dogs. Tonight they trail 3-1 at home against the Salem Red Sox. Harney, 30th pitch for Harney is hit on a fly out to left. Castellanos going back on it, but that ball dives in front of the track. And Tommy Sacco flies out to go to 1-for-4. It'll bring up Ryan Clifford. You also have the Fredericksburg Nationals and the Down East Wood Ducks in a close one tonight in Fredericksburg, Virginia. 9-8 Fredericksburg. They're in the bottom of the seventh inning. For the Fred Nats, they have a six RBI game out of their DH and cleanup man tonight. Tell you about that in a sec. As Sean Harney is at the belt, and he throws and shorts the play down to the dirt. Will Frizzle, a six RBI game. He's 2-for-3 with two runs scored, six RBIs. He's hit two home runs in that game. Will Frizzle, an eighth-round draft pick last year by the Nationals out of Texas A&M. Clifford Reddy in the pitch is outside.
Yeah, I just put together now, earlier in the year, Frizzle hit a home run, and Joey Zanaboni made a quote about the magic school bus, and I really was confused at the time, and then just put two and two together.
Oh, okay.
Miss Frizzle from Magic School Bus.
Yeah, so. One of his many quotes. Clifford is ready for the 2-0, and it is a backdoor breaking ball. A strike to Clifford, a 2-1 count as the train whizzes by. Woodpeckers without a run since the first inning when Tommy Sacco scored on the Jacob Melton RBI ground out. 2-1 is popped up, back of home over the net, and Clifford back to even at 2-2.
Both Goss and Harney tonight have done an incredible job of throwing strikes. Still not a single walk issued by this Charleston pitching staff, and just the one hit batter coming back in the second inning.
Complete opposite from yesterday when they had a total of 10 walks as a team. 2-2 is high. Full count on Ryan Clifford, who's not been on base tonight after a debut where he reached in all five plate appearances. Woodpeckers have had multiple base runners on just once. That was in the seventh in Harney's first inning. Espinoza leading off of first. Nate Perry no longer holding him on. He'll be on the move. 3-2 with two outs, and Clifford strikes out swinging. Sean Harney through two scoreless innings, and the Woodpeckers' drought since the first continues. We head to the ninth. Charleston up big, 7-1 the score on FanvilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.tv.
DP.
Who doesn't love 90s video games? Still popular today. I'm here with my friend Tatiana. Tatiana, say hello.
Hey!
What we're going to do is look up on the screen. We're going to watch some video games. You got to tell me which one it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. Okay.
Mario Kart.
Tatiana says Mario Kart. Is she correct?
Yes.
All right, one for one. Here comes the next one. Last shot. Ooh. Ooh. It's clearly a hockey game.
2K. NBA 2K.
She says NBA 2K. Is she correct? It's not. It was NBA Jam. Tatiana, it's okay. We still got tickets for a game for you. Thanks for playing. Give me a Go Packers.
Go Packers and women's soccer. Woo!
That's right.
Fans, take a look at the video board and see what's coming up at Segra Stadium. Tomorrow's our Nickelodeon Legends of the Hidden Temple Night. The first 1,000 fans through the gates will receive a commemorative pendant of life. Plus, the Woodpeckers will wear specialty Legends of the Hidden Temple jerseys. We'll close out the homestand with Nickelodeon Paw Patrol Day. The Woodpeckers will wear specialty Paw Patrol jerseys. Plus, fans can bring their dogs to the ballpark with proof of vaccination on Sunday. Each day's specialty jerseys will be available online and during the game. These jerseys will be available for purchase, and they're first come, first serve.
Stuff in it, give it to your friend, let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing a kid, wishing they was dancing a jig.
Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the River Dogs, the shortstop, number 7, Carson Williams.
First pitch of the ninth from Carson Williams, who's struck on the ground now towards shortstop, and Jackson Lofton completes the play. There is one out in the top of the ninth inning. Carson Williams, who has hit his 17th home run of the year tonight when the River Dogs went back-to-back in the fifth, is now 1-for-4. Jackson Lofton's been pretty busy over the shortstop spot in recent at-bats. Had a ground ball go his way to end the eighth, and now he gets the defensive assist to start the ninth. Ryan Spikes is now up, three hitter. comes in batting 245, 10 home runs, 31 driven in. Spikes one for four. Lines that one foul into the netting. And it is 1-1. Junior Caminero next.
This game's kind of got the same MO as last night's game, where it was just that one big inning in the middle frames.
Back to Lofton. Third time's a charm. He's 3-for-3.
One big inning in the middle frames that kind of just halted Fayetteville's momentum, both offensively and defensively on the mound. And that's just what a good team like Charleston does. It all takes is just one inning for them to really put a game out of reach. Big reason why they're approaching 80 wins on the season.
Woodpeckers trying to give Charleston their 40th loss at some point this week. A win tonight would get the River Dogs to 79-39. 40 games above 500 overall, a minor league best record. A pop-up to first base should end a very quick 1-2-3 inning for Ronnie Garcia. It comes down and Garrett McGowan makes the catch along the chalk line. Ronnie Garcia, quick work in the ninth. He goes 2 1/3 scoreless, hitless innings tonight. Garcia rolling. We go to the bottom of the ninth. It's 7-1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the River Dogs, number 34, Jack Snyder.
Believe when I say I want it that way, but we are two worlds apart.
Off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the designated hitter, number 31, Jacob Melton.
It is the bottom of the ninth inning at Segres Stadium, and the River Dogs lead the Woodpeckers 7-1. Jacob Melton starts out with a swing and a miss against new Charleston right-hander Jack Snyder. He takes over for Sean Harney, who went two scoreless innings behind the starter J.J. Goss. Snyder 6-1 with a 3.33 ERA. Melton cuts through another, and he's quickly down nothing and two. 28 games this year for Snyder. This is his 29th. He has 8 saves and 9 opportunities. Not a save chance for him here with a 6-run game. 46 innings, 17 earned runs, 17 walks as well to 54 strikeouts. And he misses down and outside to Jacob Melton. The Woodpeckers have trailed since a 5-run top of the fifth for Charleston, where they homered 3 times. 2-run home runs by Manzueta and Sasaki, a solo home run from Carson Williams. The pitch is low to Melton. Jacob tonight has driven in the only run for Fayetteville. That was on an RBI roller to first in the first inning. Scored Tommy Sacco from third. Since then, he struck out. He's 0-3. Slight shift on the infield to the pull side, and the pitch coming home is just outside. 93-mile-per-hour fastball. Snyder is pitching for the second time in this series. He was on the mound Tuesday night in just a short roll, went a third of an inning, got one out, didn't give up a run, allowed one hit. The pitch. And Melton lifts it left side, but out of play, onto the train tracks. Count stays full, 3-2. Melton, Whitaker, and Lofton will all bat for a fourth time, with the Woodpeckers down to their final opportunities. Seven runs, nine hits, two errors for Charleston, two errors as well for Fayetteville, one run on three base hits. A payoff to Melton, a swing and a line drive down the right field line. It drops in for a fair ball. Down into the corner, Melton going to second. He'll stop there, and he has himself a leadoff double. The second double of the night for Fayetteville. And Jacob Melton will like to see one of those drop after a tough night so far. Again, he did drive in the only run so far, but a double after a couple of strikeouts will help you feeling right going into the next day.
Yeah, just his second hit of the series. He had eight on the road in Zebulon against the Carolina Mudcats, so a bit of a mini slump for him, but knowing a guy as talented as Melton, the reason why he was taken in the second round is all it takes is one swing. And he finds himself standing on second or third base.
Always nice when you can win that 3-2 battle as well, the 50-50 pitch. And a stoppage as they ask for a reset at the pitch clock. Tyler Whitaker is the new right-handed batter in. 1-for-3, singled his last time up in the seventh. That was facing Sean Harney. And he cuts through the first pitch from Jack Snyder. Final line for Harney, the Kentucky eighth-round pick. He goes two innings, gives up one hit, no runs, no walks, and three strikeouts. The 0-1 pitch, a swing and a foul tip off of Piper's mask. A nothing and two count on Whitaker.
Some drama to wrap up the game in Columbia as the Fireflies score three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning after trailing 3-1 to the Salem Red Sox and walk it off. So at the very least, they'll be able to maintain the 3.5 game deficit that Charleston currently holds over them.
That's the second walk-off this week for Charleston. They walked off on Wednesday as well. For Columbia. Whitaker swings at a breaking ball to the outside. 88 mile per hour slider got him chasing. That's the 12th strikeout tonight for Fayetteville hitters. And now it's Jackson Lofton.
It was Felix Cepeda on the mound for Salem. You remember, he had trouble against the Woodpeckers in that series up in Salem.
Yeah.
Had a couple of outings where he really struggled against Fayetteville's offense.
Here's the pitch to Lofton starting his at bat, and it is a knee-high fastball strike, 0-1. Lofton 0-for-2. He has reached on a fielding error from Felix Pie over at third. Melton on second, 7-1 ball game. The pitch from Snyder is on the inner edges of the zone. Called strike two on Lofton. Asheville leading big tonight, 7-1 over the Winston-Salem Dash on the road. Tonight for the tourists, a 3-for-3 game so far from Joey Loperfido. And he has driven in two runs. He has doubled. And now Lofton lines the ball to left. That falls down in front of Castellanos. Melton stops at third. A pair of base hits in the ninth. First inning tonight that the Woodpeckers offense has scratched together multiple hits. They're now on the corners.
You mentioned Loperfido. He had a couple of hits last night as well. Really starting to find his own. And at the end of the day, yeah, wins and losses. It's tough to see the Woodpeckers with as many losses they've had this season. But the development of players that we've seen in Fayetteville all year long has been a really promising sign as far as the Houston Astros organization goes.
Garrett McGowan swings at the first one and got a piece of it, foul. With his 3-for-3 night, Joey Loperfido is now hitting .412 in high A, Colin.
All these guys that keep coming up, we saw Miguel Palma get off to a strong start. He's maintained it. Kennedy Corona when he first got up as well. Quincy Hamilton's already all the way up in double A.
Here's the 0-1 pitch. McGowan swings. He was late on a pitch that looked a little high. 0-2.
Not to mention Justin Williams a couple of weeks ago also getting the call.
Woodpeckers trying to bring home their first run since the bottom of the first. McGowan takes off the plate away. Good take on the 0-2. Snyder wanted him to chase. McGowan is 0-for-3. His best swing, a fly ball to deep center that died right before the warning track. The 1-2 pitch. And he yanks it foul on the ground. It'll stay where it is, a ball and two strikes. Woodpeckers have just a couple of base hits from the bottom four hitters in their order, and they both come from Rolando Espinoza. 1-2 is a little inside. That was a slider working in on the lefty. Two balls and two strikes. Sugarland tonight gets going at 10:05 Eastern. They're out in Vegas. Sugarland at 56-64 overall in the year. 2-2 break even. McGowan continues to battle. He foul tips it. It looked like a changeup down towards the dirt. And McGowan fights it away.
It's another win last night for the Space Cowboys as well. Another big offensive explosion. And Corey Lee has hit 8 home runs over his last 15 games.
Man, he's driven in like close to 20 runs over that stretch as well. 18 or 19 runs. Snyder will try another two-strike pitch against McGowan, and he stays away from the high heat. That was 94 near the shoulders. And McGowan has got the count full. Second full count now in the inning. Jacob Melton got a double out of the full count. Snyder, 20 pitches, has just the one out on the strikeout. The payoff. McGowan strikes out swinging. Good breaking ball from Snyder. Actually, it was a changeup, I think, off the outside corner. And McGowan was over top of it. 13th strikeout tonight for Fayetteville. And now here is John Garcia with the Woodpeckers down to their final chance. This day in Woodpeckers history, August 26, 2019, Luis Garcia, the now Houston Astro right-hander, strikes out 10 Carolina Mudcats as the Woodpeckers go on to win a 4-2 game in Zebulon.
Wonder whatever happened to that Luis Garcia
guy.
Yeah,
haven't heard from him in a while. Oh, yeah, I have. Big leaguer now. John Garcia in an 0-1 count. Here's the pitch. He swings and pops it up. Foul territory, first base side. Kenny Piper has eyes on it. The catcher makes the catch. And this game is over. The Woodpeckers threaten putting runners on the corners, but do not score. Just one run tonight by the Woodpeckers on 5 total hits. It came in the first. And Charleston, like they did last night, scores a big chunk of unanswered runs, 7 unanswered, to go on and win this ball game, 7-1. They win their second straight and their third this week on the road in Fayetteville. We'll talk about it all next. The postgame show is coming up when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Stay tuned.
In a beat-up Chevy truck, her boyfriend Tom is laying on the horn, splashing through the mud and the muck. Her daddy says he ain't worth a lick. When it comes to brains, he got the short end of the stick. But Katie's young and man, she just don't care. She'd follow Tommy anywhere. She's in love with the boy. She's in love with the boy. She's in love with the boy. And even if they have to run away, she's gonna marry that boy someday. Katie and Tommy at the drive-in movie, parking the very last row. They're too busy holding on to one another to even care about the show. Tommy slips something on the plate. He says my high school ring will have to do till I can buy a wedding band. Her daddy says he ain't worth a lick. When it comes to brains, he got the short end of the stick. But Katie's young and then she just don't care. She'd follow Tommy anywhere. She's in love with the boy. She's in love.
him sneaking up the wall. He says, young lady, get on up to your room while me and Junior have a talk. Mama breaks in, says, don't lose your temper. It wasn't very long ago. And you yourself was just a hazy plowboy and didn't have a road to hoe. My daddy said you wasn't worth a lick. When it came to brains, you got the short end of the stick. But he was wrong, and honey, you are too. Katie looks at Tommy, I guess she'll look at you. She's in love, boy.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Welcome back into the broadcast booth for the final time tonight, the Woodpeckers postgame show radio edition. We'll circle back after the fireworks show and do a postgame show for MILB.TV as well. Thanks again so much for making us a part of your Friday night plans, everybody. The Woodpeckers took an early lead tonight, 1-0 after one inning, but Charleston went on to score 7 unanswered, hit 4 home runs in this game, and win it by a 7-1 final. The big inning coming in the fifth when they homered 3 times and scored 5 runs before adding on 1 more run in the sixth inning, going on again to win 7-1 the score. Charleston wins their 3rd of 4 this week so far, and the Woodpeckers drop their 13th of their last 14th game. The win this week coming on Wednesday in that 3-0 final. With the loss, the Woodpeckers fall to 48-69 on the season. Charleston improves to 40 games above 500 overall at 79-39, the best record in all of minor league baseball. If you weren't with us from the early stages of this one, the lone run for the Woodpeckers came on a Tommy Sacco double that started the bottom of the first inning against J.J. Goss. 2 batters later, Jacob Melton rolled to Nate Perry at first and brought him in, and it was 1-0. Fayetteville starter Nick Swanson pitched a scoreless top of the first inning, worked around a pair of walks, but then gave up a Nate Perry solo home run in the second that tied the game. The former Woodpecker hit in his 4th of the year for Charleston. And then after a couple innings of scoreless ball from Nick Swanson in the 3rd and the 4th, that's when he was hit hard in the 5th. A single from Alejandro Pie led off the inning. Then Shane Sasaki hit a 2-run home run onto left field berm. Carson Williams homered immediately after, going back-to-back, and the game was 4-1 at that point. Kenny Piper then hit a triple. That forced Nick Swanson from the game. And with Austin Temple coming out of the bullpen in his Woodpeckers debut, he faced just 2 batters but did give up a 2-run home run to Anil Mansueta that made it a 6-1 score. Well-pitch game towards the back end, Colin. Then Peyton Plumlee came on. He showed a lot of good velocity coming back from his Tommy John recovery, back with the Woodpeckers for the first time since July 11th. He gave up just an unearned run in the 7th inning, making the 6th inning on a throwing error from the catcher Garcia on a double steal that sailed into center. That allowed Alejandro Pie to score. And then Ronnie Garcia, 2 1/3 scoreless hitless innings. He's being fantastic. So a good effort by the back end of the bullpen tonight. Fayetteville had some chances there late with a couple runners in scoring position. They put 2 runners on in the 7th and in the 9th inning, but were unable to bring them across. And if you're going to beat these River Dogs, you have to try and give up fewer than 3-4 runs maybe, and you have to get some big clutch swings with runners in scoring position, and unfortunately that formula didn't come together tonight.
Yeah, no question about it. It's so hard to be able to get runners on base when you can't draw walks against them. 0 walks by the pitching staff of the River Dogs tonight. Very impressive stuff to go along with 13 strikeouts. And I was impressed, though, as you touched upon, the performance of the bullpen tonight for Fayetteville. You know, Nick Swanson had that rough 5th inning, had a really strong start to the ball game. Really, it just came down to 5 of those 7 runs coming in that 5th inning. Austin Temple came in, gave up the home run, got the final out, though, to kind of just get the Woodpeckers on to the 6th. And from there, Peyton Plumlee mentioned the 1 unearned run over an inning and 2/3. I mean, electric stuff, 97 miles an hour. Yeah. Great to see that velocity on his fastball after coming off the long layoff with his arm injury. And Ronny Garcia has just continued to impress since he's been up here after getting recalled earlier in the month. I've been really happy with what we've seen. He's looking like a guy that you can rely on going forward in the future in this Woodpeckers bullpen. And looks like that Houston might have something there in Garcia, which is great to see. I think just at the end of the day, a little bit more consistency at the plate would have helped the Fayetteville Woodpeckers further along in this game. It's been kind of the issue over the last couple of nights, but still two games left against the best team, as you mentioned, all of minor league baseball record-wise, and all you can ask for is to put together competitive at-bats and try to scrape away victory. Anything even two wins out of six against this Charleston team at this point, or even if the Woodpeckers were to take the final two games, you'd take that as Fayetteville with just how hard it is to beat the River Dogs on any given night.
Yep, tonight, again, goes the way of the River Dogs, 7-1 the final. The win goes to J.J. Goss. He goes to 4-5 with a victory. Quality start for him tonight, 6 innings, 1 earned run. No walks, 8 strikeouts, and only 2 hits allowed. The loss goes to Nick Swanson, who falls to 3-3, going 4 2/3 tonight. 5 earned runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. No save in this one. Final time of game, 2 hours and 20 minutes in front of a great crowd tonight. Good weather, 86 degrees, sunny, and the fans came out to enjoy some good weather in baseball. 5,501 with us tonight at Segra Stadium. The majority of them still hanging around for a Friday night fireworks show. Only one more left in the regular season after tonight. We do have some more baseball to play this weekend, though. Saturday and Sunday ball games, an earlier start time tomorrow. 5:05, first pitch here at Segra Stadium. As some of the fireworks start popping off, we'll lower our crowd microphones for you. But right-hander Dalen Miley is on the mound tomorrow, 3-7 record with a 5.09 ERA, and he'll be opposed by a southpaw. Antonio Jimenez gets the ball for Charleston, 9-4 with a 3.55 ERA. It's Legends of the Hidden Temple night tomorrow night. So if you didn't get one of those All That uniforms via the online auction, you can get one of the Legend of the Hidden Temple uniforms tomorrow or the Paw Patrol uniforms on our Sunday Fun Day series conclusion Sunday, August 28th at 2:05 p.m. For all of the links associated with the online auction, go to Fayetteville Woodpeckers on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to take your right to where you need to go. Again, 5:05, first pitch tomorrow. And the pregame show will begin at 4:50 live on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, MILB.TV, and the MILB First Pitch app, where you can find that online radio feed. A big thanks to everybody that tuned in tonight. Appreciate you making us a part of your Friday night plans. A big thanks to the Woodpeckers front office for putting on a great show tonight, continuing to do so with our firework displayed at Segra Stadium. Great work by all of them, and a big thanks to my broadcast partner, Colin Casey, along for the ride tonight. Andrew Chapman along with Colin Casey signing off from downtown Fayetteville. Again, the final score tonight, Charleston 7 and the Woodpeckers 1. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 4:50, the pregame show with a 5:05 first pitch in game 5 of 6 between your Woodpeckers and the Charleston River Dogs. Good night, everybody. Enjoy the start to your weekend. Have a great rest of your Friday night. We'll circle back in a moment for those tuning in on MILB.TV for a final wrap-up. This has been Woodpeckers Baseball, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network on a Friday night from Segra Stadium. Good night, everybody, and so long.
You've been listening to Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. For news, stats, ticketing information, upcoming promotions, and merchandise, be sure to visit FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.